Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says, bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're going to hear. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a what kind of pants the son of a who shot you was wearing?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And after a crazy weather day yesterday, it's a little nicer today. Although this morning, man, I was out early. I had a meeting in Boston. So that means I had to wake up at 3 in the morning to get in there on time. And, I mean, the roads were icy. And I witness a guy comes to a red light, puts on his brakes, bam, right into the back of another car. Just couldn't stop.
There was a school bus that got stuck one of the streets near my house. It's a steep hill. I was trying to make it up there, and then the wheel started spinning. It started going sideways and drifting back down.
Whoa. I should watch the news.
Kids are like,
No, they're thinking, day off.
Oh, so, Fred, we get in this morning, and our webmaster.
Eric's here, by the way.
The inimitable Chris Ferreira turns to me and he goes, so how many people braved the weather and came in yesterday? And I said, all of us.
Yeah.
He goes, no, really. I said, all of us. He's like, oh, I'm kind of surprised. I'm like, I'm not.
Bad. I love it. It really wasn't bad yesterday.
I can actually hear him saying it, too, like as you're telling the story, like, I'm kind of surprised by that.
Oh, he took a day off early.
He screwed that up. Yeah. Screwed himself.
Yeah, there was no traffic yesterday because I think a lot of people did what
had
Chris
the same
did
idea,
and decided I'm not beforehand on Tuesday. I'm not going to bother with it yesterday. There was no traffic on the way to work or on the way home.
It was one of those typical New England storms. They predicted the end of the world, and we got virtually nothing.
I think and here's where I have to cut ties with Eric, because I think you're the only one that saw the prediction of the end of the world.
Yeah,
everybody else saw 4 to 8 inches, and we got about 4 to 8 inches.
Weather
turning
channel
to rain.
Turning to rain, which was heavy rain. It was ridiculous.
Poor. I had a little water in my garage last night.
I did too, and I have a lot of
the
new bathroom stuff in the garage.
The existing snow created dams.
Right. There was no place for it to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I had to do some stuff last night to bail out a little bit.
So anyway, Patriots, that's why we're here, to talk about them and the Super Bowl. Last chance to talk about that.
Are we going
to
make predictions?
Sure. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com.
We've got to hurry up because we have to make picks, Andy.
That's true. We've got to get moving.
The phone number is 508-543-7482.
That made me laugh.
Webradio@patriots.com. Some Patriots news. Fernando Bryant mentioned the Patriots. Couldn't figure out why after watching how the secondary played in New England, why he didn't get a chance to stick around.
Before we do get to him, there were some Matt Cassel comments this week.
Okay.
Did you hear them?
Yes. He's working for G, right?
Yes.
Well, he was at Radio Row. doing some interviews.
Right, for G. Yeah,
for G.
Not Brady's girlfriend, but Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Right.
Yeah.
So he was asked about, his status, and he said, it's just a waiting game, and, there have been no talks, he said, which was, that was the most newsworthy thing I picked out of that was, I don't know if they technically can have any sort of talks with their players at this point.
Yeah,
but,
sure they can. Yeah.
The fact that he said there have been none, I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, I think, the Patriots are kind of in a reshuffling mode, see how things settle. Now that Floyd Reese is here, maybe, in a couple of weeks, maybe they'll dial up Matt Cassel and start talking about
that. Or if you believe previous published reports, they're going to franchise him and there's nothing to talk about at this point.
Well, they have the whole month of February to decide that, basically.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
A two-week window.
From the 5th to the 19th.
But, have been on the record published reports that they've already decided they're going to franchise him, so they don't need to call Matt and say...
Those reports are, knowing the Patriots, they will franchise him.
That would be incorrect.
No.
The reports were that, according to people within the Patriots organization, the decision has already been made that they will franchise.
I never saw that.
I agree. I agree with you. That doesn't
Mike Lombardi one day, and then somebody on
ESPN
the next.
Mike Lombardi is the one I'm citing.
I agree with you that what Mike Lombardi said, he talked to somebody in the Patriots organization who said they've made the decision.
And he says,
that
knowing
will,
them,
no,
that's not what he said.
That's not what he said.
Get 2G. Get that Mike Lombardi report.
But I will.
He'll never find it.
That doesn't mean it's true, Fred. It doesn't mean that the report's accurate. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if those reports are true, you have nothing to talk about with Matt Cassel.
And my guess is they've already talked about that with Matt Cassel. So
or
I don't
his
really
agent
think,
or whatever.
Yeah, I don't really think that Cassel is really being forthright, and that's the way to go when you're with the Patriots.
Well,
you don't talk in the media about that stuff. They don't like that.
He had said he didn't know what the franchise tag meant before. Now he says he knew what it meant. You can tell me he didn't know what it meant the first time. He knew what it meant.
You're trying to tell me Jason Garatek didn't know that there was compensation if he signed arbitration?
I think that's more believable than Matt Cassel not knowing that what the franchise tag is.
I think in his position, he learned quickly, but I could see at a point in every player's career early on where they have no idea what the franchise tag is.
I find that hard to believe.
Asante Samuel, did he not know he had a quarterback on his team?
He's all about the money.
No, I'm saying.
No idea
Asante
what it is.
Asante Samuel was here and playing under the franchise tag.
Just be quiet.
You're not making any
sense. Let Paul finish.
Why are you getting all upset? Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Asante doesn't play for New England anymore.
Well, you know what it is?
Did that 3 o'clock wake up call?
You know what it is?
You didn't really get up at 3, did you?
I got up at 5:30.
What time was your meeting?
9 o'clock.
5:30 is pretty early.
But you know what it is? You know what's kind of got me kind of a little bit, as much as I try to talk myself out of it, and you watch a stupid media day and all that stuff, I miss it. We should be there. As much as we complain and make fun of it when we're there, I'd rather be there than here.
We do the same thing all the time. We kind of look at each other and say, geez, that's a lot of work and. Whatever.
But it's a great week.
When we get down there,
week.
We had a great week last week. We all did. We all had a great time. I thought Arizona was a great home
city. I
love
the venue. Great venue, too.
And with the exception of some logistical stuff that has happened at the different Super Bowls, like Jacksonville was ill-prepared for that size. Houston was kind of too big.
Tough to get around.
But the actual, doing the press conferences and the media days that's fun. It actually is fun. It's a lot of work. But, we've enjoyed every one of them.
We should just be there. That's.
Well, they should just put that in the rules, I think.
Right.
The Patriots should be one team from the
AFC. That's right. We get it by default.
And the other 31 teams play in a round robin to see who gets
to play.
Some
a little bitter. A little bitter.
That's all right. The other report I thought I saw that was interesting was.
You thought you saw it?
No, I saw it, but I thought it was interesting. Pardon me. Was the report on Brady yesterday that he's actually throwing again.
Yes.
And that no further medical procedures are planned, according to an NFL source
Things
and a medical
good.
Source.
Things are good. We don't know where that came from.
This is what I like about these Boston Globe stories that are supposed to be rebutting the stories that are already out there. We start off strong, okay? Right at the top, we say that he is, quote, on track to be fine for the opening game of the season. Based on anybody else doing an ACL rehab, he's going right along. He had a shaky start, but he's caught up, said the source, okay? So, great news. He's going to be able to play at the start of 09, right, which we're all excited about. But we have to read on here. Still, the sources acknowledge that Brady has, quote, laxity in the MCL and some stiffness in the joint. Well, kind of paints a little bit different picture than that first quote. Additionally, sources said that Brady had not regained full range of motion, though it is not unusual for patients who have undergone ACL reconstruction to have lingering range of motion issues, especially, and this is the important part, in cases of infection. So you're comparing him in your first quote with the normal ACL rehab that Andy always talks about being somewhat routine. Then in your next quote, you're saying these problems that he has are kind of normal for guys who had infection. Well, the infection's not normal.
Right.
Once you have that, therein lies the difference.
All bets are off.
And I'm guessing is part of the reason why some of the stories that have said that the rehab isn't going as well, specifically Tom Curran's NBCSports.com report, that's where they're getting it from. So in my opinion, the stories are all saying the same thing.
Yep.
They're just focusing on a different element at the top.
That's right. And I think that, you know, we don't know the source for this, but my speculation, and it's just speculation, is that it's probably coming from someone associated with the doctor in L.A. because they want to get it out as positively as possible because this guy's reputation's at stake here. If he's the guy that screwed up Tom Brady's knee, he'll never work again.
Well, there it says
he'll never work again in this town.
He may never work again. Period.
It says
certainly not on a high-profile case like this.
The Globe cites medical sources, which would fall in line with what you just said, and an NFL source. So that could be anybody.
That could be anybody. Could be Edie in the lunchroom.
Well, maybe not her, but
well,
you know,
I've seen her on the cell phone.
She has to take care of the players.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Yeah.
She has to take care of the players' lounge area, right?
No.
Was that somebody else?
She doesn't go down there.
Was that George?
No, there's a couple other people that do that.
But anyway, the point that I was trying to make is that I think it certainly looks like there are some complications that Tom has encountered. That we know because Brady himself told us that.
Right.
And it certainly looks like these kinds of stories, and even Tom's story sort of speculated this, despite those struggles, there's only two choices. Either another surgery to fix those struggles, which would wipe out 09, or playing through it.
Right.
It looks like he's choosing to play through it.
Right.
So him being on the field on opening day in 2009 doesn't, in my opinion, do anything to discredit the story that Tom wrote. Unless he is completely fine and there's been never any chance that he was going to have another procedure.
He couldn't be because with the infection,
right,
he couldn't be. He could not.
No, but
be.
He could be back to.
Oh, he could have caught up. But
normal
at the time,
post ACL rehab.
No, but my point being, unless there is no issue at all with laxity or looseness, I think as he put it, Tom. I think Tom used the word looseness. This story uses laxity.
Laxity, right?
Unless there really is no problem with the ACL and MCL and the grafts and everything was fine, then Tom's story might not be wrong.
My point is he could be to the point where everything from the infection is gone. He's gotten back to
think that he probably
a baseline
is.
Post-ACL,
yep.
Normal, you know, because people, as it said, normal ACL rehab involves some people might have laxity. That's a new word, by the way. I don't really know what it means. But
I'm just using the quoted word.
Other people have stiffness and range of motion. Like, I know that's a common one. Like, they have scar tissue and range of motion is, like, the biggest issue. That they like they physically break it up, like they lay you on your stomach, lift your shin up like kind of like a hamstring curl, and push on it and push and push and push until you can touch your calf to the back of your hamstring till you can bend it fully. So that's a normal thing. So he may have now whatever it is 2+ months later, maybe back now to normal post-operative rehab.
Eric, you fancy yourself a scholarly type.
I just wish he were.
Laxity. Now, Tom used the word looseness. I mean, it's a synonym for that. No?
I just thought of laxatives.
You're lax in your rules, you're a little loose with the rules.
Loose with the bowels, laxative.
Yeah, I mean, that's wouldn't it be loose?
I had never heard that word used before, but from
lubricants.
The from
neither had the writer, by the way, and that's why it's in quotes. Because if it was a common term,
well, unless
you just write it.
You're right,
the doctor said laxity, so I'm putting that in quotes because I don't really know what that means.
But
medically.
I'm thinking, you know,
what laxative means.
But, yes, right. I know, but
the quality or state of being loose.
Yeah. My point is, if it was
Thank
a normal
you.
Term,
About
you would
time
just
you
write it.
Where's our food today?
Because you put it in quotes, you found it as an interesting
Ooh,
term.
Came in
well,
hot and
that or maybe it's also like one of those medical industry terms.
Right. But that's my point.
And
it's not just
it's not like an everyday word.
Right. That's why it's in quotes.
But from the context, yeah.
So Tom said there was looseness. This guy said there's laxity.
Yeah, so maybe...
You know, it's. I think they're saying the same thing.
I'm sure they are, but my guess is like when Andy said, the source, whoever told him that, used that term, and he put it in quotes because he figured, oh, that must be an industry-type term right. that they use
and,
for
and
looseness.
And Tom said that the only way that laxity can be fixed is by having another surgery. They can't have the other surgery and still play 09 because he couldn't have the surgery close enough to the original surgery. You need more time. So they've obviously chosen they're going to play with this laxity, just to use the word of the day, and they're going to go on. Now, hopefully, he plays 16 games and we don't have any problems with it at all. He's going to have a brace on, I would think,
right.
And it's his front leg, not his plant leg. You know, so it's his front leg, not his push-off.
The Hopefully, problem with the whole thing is nobody knows enough about it. The looseness in the knee, there's thousands and thousands of people, including professional athletes, who have looseness in their knee.
Oh, sure.
And it's just the way they were born. So the problem with the difference between the two stories is Tom posed the idea that 09 could be out of the picture if he has that surgery.
Tom Curran. You guys keep saying Tom. I just want to make
sure. Yeah, Tom Curran. Whereas this story has pretty much eliminated that and said, bottom line is, the first snap on opening day will go from Dan Copen to Tom Brady. So the once you get rid of all the details that no one really knows except for the bottom line is this story says he's going to be under center to start the season.
But as Paul said, that doesn't discount the worries that you would have had 2 months ago.
But my problem is, and I don't know what information Tom Curran had specifically beyond what he wrote, but he wrote that there's laxity or looseness, whatever, in the knee that could only be fixed with another surgery. But he didn't know whether it needed to be fixed for any reason or whether that was just how Tom Brady's knee is going to
be
moving forward.
But that doesn't mean you can't play with that.
It's like saying Jimmy Hitchcock had no ACLs, and that could only be fixed by having surgery.
Right.
That is all true, but he didn't need to have the surgery because he didn't need the ACLs because his knee had normalized itself without ACLs.
Tom did say he doesn't have to have the surgery. He could choose to play through it.
Could choose, which sort of implies that maybe it's not the best thing if you play through it.
He implied that it was at detriment to his knee, not maybe that this is just how his knee's going to be
forever.
So
you don't think there's any chance that – you think there's a chance that it's not a detriment to his knee?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that his knee stays the way it is
the
rest of his life.
If he has laxity, he's wearing a brace.
And that's fine.
I think you're right.
No,
plenty of
saying,
people wear braces.
You got to wear a brace with that.
Well, I don't know that to be true either because, again, I don't know the specifics.
I don't know the specifics.
I think there's a chance that his knee doesn't meet, quote-unquote, ideal standards for the rest of his life.
Right.
But he still plays the next six years on it and wins two Super Bowls.
Yeah, because
but I don't think that you can make an argument that it wouldn't be better if he had the surgery.
I don't know. I mean...
That sounds like
the impression
I'm getting, though.
His right knee may be lax.
The impression I'm getting is that if he gets the surgery to fix the laxity, he's better off long-term for the stability of the knee. Sure, he can play with it,
but it's probably a little risky.
Well, that was
the impression that I'm getting.
That was the Tom Curran tone.
That's
exactly
the
I don't know that that's true. That's my point.
Oh, we don't know if it's true, but that's the impression I got.
Clearly, they've decided that that's not – if it's an issue at all, it's not a big enough issue. Because they're just going to move forward with the no surgery play this year.
Either it's not a big enough issue, or Tom decided, you know what, I really don't want to sit out another year.
That may be. Or maybe he was told, you know what, your knee's never going to be ideal. You had a major knee injury.
We could
try to get it closer to perfect, but it's not that big a deal. I think most people that have major surgeries on any joint, major injuries, it's never the same. It's never meets the perfection of that joint again. So... that's my point. No one knows the specific. Maybe Tom Curran does, but the way he wrote it, I don't know.
But I would agree with the assessment you just said. I think that anybody that has a surgery would say that it probably never was perfect again.
Right.
But I have to think that the surgery corrected, provided that it's not butchered. You know, Bobby Orr's surgeon didn't work on him and end his career. Provided that it's a reasonably successful surgery, I got to think is better than not having the surgery. In 100% of the cases.
I would agree with that.
But, no, I'm not saying he should have never had ACL surgery.
I'm saying if you have a problem, whatever the follow-up is to correct this, I got to think it would be better if he had the time.
Or else they wouldn't have that as an option.
But what's better? I mean, now you're moving towards ideal. Do you need to return to ideal or
Well, because the thing is, okay, let's say he comes, you know, how many guys have come back from knee injuries earlier than they should have? Mm-hmm. And they try to go at full speed, and they end up re-injuring the same knee or the same whatever injury it is. They because they're coming back too early, or they're working on something that's not totally healed.
Right.
So maybe that's sort of the case. Maybe they're saying, well, there's a risk involved. You probably could get away with it if you don't take another hit
like
that or whatever.
See, that's the implication that I don't have the answer to. The implication is there's a risk involved.
Yes.
The vibe I get is that may not be accurate from all the stories, like including this Boston Globe story.
I don't know. The fact that there is any sort of implication to me lends some credence
but
to
But where'd
it.
The implication come from?
Just from the quotes from Tom Curran's story.
They're all sort of
Tom Curran.
No, they're all agreeing.
No, but they're all sort of saying that there's a problem.
But they're not. They're saying it's loose and stiff.
Right.
And to me, that's a problem. Is it
to me, it's a knee after a major knee injury.
Okay. I'm not a doctor.
I have no problem acknowledging that fact. My question is the risk factor that is clearly implied by a lot of people. Is there a risk moving forward?
Well,
or is it simply he's not going to have a perfect
team? I certainly think there
is. Well, it's not enough of a risk for them to say you got to stay off it because the same story says he's dropping back and passing.
He's rehabbing.
Well, he's trying to get back.
Right. He's trying to get back on the field. He's got to do
but
that.
But obviously the doctors think you should get on it and start using it.
Well, that's the general course
of
rehab.
Or he said, I'm going to get on it and start using it.
The stiffness comes from not using it when he had the infection.
Right.
I think there's a chance the doctors might have said to him, you'd be better off getting this corrective surgery. And he's saying, yeah, but then I'd miss 2009, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to take 2 years off in a row. So can I play on this? And they're saying to him, you could, but we're not going to guarantee that you're going to be fine. And he's saying, I'm willing to take that risk. That's the impression that I get
from all of these stories. I kind of have that impression, too, but Andy's right. We don't know that.
No, we don't know.
We don't know that to that's be true. Andy's point is correct.
No, I think that's the impression that's been sort of given and made through all these stories.
But I'm not getting that impression from these stories. I'm getting that impression from my thoughts of surgeries. And if there's something wrong after surgery that you could correct with another surgery, my guess is that you'd be better off correcting it than, you know, crossing your fingers. Mm-hmm. But that's just my opinion, and that's not based on anything medical whatsoever because I don't have any – no, I don't have the first clue.
Well, that's the problem. Is there – yeah. The Tom Curran story really threw a lot of, like, wrench in here, and that's the problem. Because you have that in the back of your mind no matter what whatever story you're reading, you still have that information in your head. A second surgery, a lost season, something that can only be fixed with a second surgery. I mean, what if the issue is, you know, if you don't get that fixed and you play another 6 years, down the road you're probably going to have pretty bad arthritis because the looseness is going to cause a little extra movement, which is going to cause a little extra damage to the cartilage. And eventually, you're going to have more of a chance of a severely arthritic knee than if we fix it now. To me, that's different than if you go on the field next year, you're risking another major
injury.
Yeah,
it's like those concussion or neck injuries. Mm-hmm.
Those two, to me, are two very different things. Am I dealing with arthritis at age 55, or am I dealing with another major knee injury in November mm-hmm. of 2009? To me, those are two very different risks. But they're both logical possibilities in this scenario, right? I mean, the looseness and the different long-term.
The thing I wonder.
To me, they're very different.
All of the stories that have come out after Tom Curran's have sort of been playing catch-up in a way and have mm-hmm. sort of been trying to either discredit or prove what he said was accurate. We'll never know.
Discredit was, I think you were more accurate in the first one. Every one of them seems to be trying to.
They're trying to.
But in my opinion, they seem to agree with them more than they disagree with them.
I think you're right. But we'll probably never know the answer to this question. But if Curran hadn't broken that story, would any of these – I'm sure people would have been trying to get updates on Brady's rehab. But would all of the stories have this sort of tack where there's this lingering doubt about the infection and all of the other stuff?
Well, I think so because you're trying to make a decision, the Patriots, of whether or not to franchise Castle, and that's – a lot of that's determined on whether or not Brady's going to be healthy. So the story has to be, will Brady be ready in 2009?
Yeah. Well, no, but I'm saying
most people assume in this day and age, even with the infection,
that you come back
that
quickly.
You come back. Like, Tom Curran was the first to pose 2009 may be in jeopardy.
That's my point, is that if it weren't for that report, would the stories we hear now be saying, Brady's recovering from from surgery. He's rehabbing. He's even dropping back to pass now. Oh, by the way, he had a little bit of a setback with a knee
infection.
That's
absolutely right. No one had any doubt whatsoever that he'd be ready to go in 2009 until Tom Curran's story.
But Curran's story came out after the infection story came out, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, after that.
I mean, that's the thing that put things in jeopardy.
But no one ever was talking about it.
9 months, 10, 11, whatever, how many months from 2009?
When the infection story came out, the story was, oh, he had an infection, but don't worry, He's still on track
to get back. It's going to set him back 6 weeks. Right. He'll have this antibiotic, and then he'll move forward.
Then Curran came out and said, yeah, you know what? Maybe not. And so ever since then, we've had these type of stories.
We have some breaking news.
Well, no. Getting back to the whole Castle franchise thing, this is the story, the article, Mike Lombardi article. Here's the quote. Quote, "The Patriots are way too smart, and I've talked to people in the organization," said Lombardi. "They are going to franchise Matt Castle. He's an asset, and they can control their ability to trade him if they franchise him."
So you're both right.
We're both right then. Because he did say the Patriots are way too smart, but we were saying they're going to franchise him. He talked to people in the Patriots organization.
Right.
So we're both right. They use the same terms, but the same words that we both said.
From this, the Patriots would have deniability. Even the person that he talked to could say, yeah, well, I mean, it's on the table. We're definitely looking at it, but we haven't made a decision yet. Lombardi's saying that sentence again?
Yeah.
He said the Patriots are way too smart.
That's Lombardi's opinion.
That's his opinion.
Right.
Okay. Now we get to the facts.
And I've talked to people in the organization.
Uh-huh.
They are going to franchise Matt Castle. He's an asset, and they can control their ability to trade him if they franchise him.
Right.
So the inference I think it's Lombardi's opinion based on people he's talked to.
I don't.
Well, I think he didn't write it like that, if that's the case.
Lombardi didn't write it, for one thing. It's somebody else, right?
I thought he did.
No, he did.
No, this is NFL Insider says Pats will franchise Castle.
I think he was interviewed for a story.
No, I'm pretty sure he wrote it on NFL
on
Football
or
Post
something.
Or whatever
that
thing is.
Well, this is from the Providence Journal.
They picked it up because he said it.
Oh.
Well, no, I think that what Lombardi is saying is they're smart. I've talked to people there. I know how they think. They're gonna franchise them. But I don't think anyone from the
Lombardi.
But I don't think anyone from the Patriots told Mike Defendant, we are going to franchise. It's his opinion based on how smart he thinks.
Well,
the
he didn't
Patriots
write
are.
It like that. Then I mean, it's definitely it's semantics. Like, but I think that his opinion is like I thought. The Patriots are too smart. I talked to some people in the organization, and they are going to franchise Matt Castle. Right. That's the way he wrote it.
Yeah, it sounded like he was confirming his own prediction.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know.
But again, it doesn't mean that they're going to.
No, it doesn't.
It just means that someone told him that they're going to. I mean, the Patriots aren't held to that.
Because
they told some guy in December or January they're going to do it. Means they have to do it.
I'd just love to know who the insider is with the Patriots who felt, you know, it would be in our interest to let this guy know that.
But at this point, isn't it pretty obvious?
My guess is he's no longer here.
Isn't it pretty obvious, though, at this point that it's in the Patriots' interest to franchise
him? A lot of guys no longer here,
Andy.
If they
can afford it, yes.
There's not just one guy that's out of a job here. Yeah. There's a lot of guys that have moved on.
But that's why I think this is a big story out of nothing. You're right, Eric. Anyone reasonably that understands it thinks, yeah, the smart thing to do is franchise him,
and you try to make a trade, and you think Brady's fine.
So my point is, where's the story there?
That's been the funny thing, too, with Dennis and Callahan have been on that.
As a fact.
But Dennis and Callahan.
I can argue that story does not make it a fact yet.
Well, nothing makes it a fact
until they file the paperwork.
Bill Belichick could have said, if Mike Lombardi, I'm franchising him. That doesn't make it a fact until I file the paperwork.
No, but
if Bill Belichick walks in, then
I would say, okay, that's a story.
All right, well, what if Bill Belichick came to me, or us, whatever, for some reason, and said, you know what, we're going to trade Castle on next Thursday, to Kansas City, but you can't use my name. Keep my name out of it. So we write a story and say, we talked to someone in the Patriots organization, and they're going to trade Matt Castle next Thursday to Kansas City. Well, what if they don't?
Well, no.
I mean, until it happens, it's not a fact.
No, but that's a story.
He told me that.
That's a true story.
Someone obviously told Mike Lombardi
that. Well, so that sounds like that's what happened with
him. But unless it happens, it's not a fact.
I'm not sure. I'm
so now you're just denying whether someone told him that or not.
I'm saying that Lombardi's discussion with whoever it is in the Patriots organization could be, you know, we're going to look at everything, including franchise.
Okay, so you're saying that he's misrepresenting the facts.
He's lying.
But he's saying, based on that conversation, that they're open to everything and how much I know how smart they are, they're going to franchise him.
Well, he's lying then.
If that's your scenario that you just painted out, that's not what he wrote. He's not lying.
He wrote that he talked to someone and they are franchised.
He's not lying. I don't think he's lying. I just think that he's taking that and adding it to his opinion of how smart the Patriots are and coming up with the conclusion that they are going to franchise Matt
Castle. If he didn't say about them being smart in the beginning and he just said the second half of that sentence, would you still think that way?
No. I would now I would say, okay, somebody told him directly, we are going to franchise.
Said. So the fact that he prefaced it with the fact that his opinion makes you think that the rest of it is
opinion.
They're
way too smart. Why would you say that? Why would you have to say they're way too smart?
He's adding an element of analysis to it, his own analysis.
He doesn't
and then he's
need to.
Up
he's
with,
got the info. They told him they're going to franchise.
But he's making himself look like I knew all along they were too
to
smart
me,
for this.
The way I'm
That's
reading
exactly
it,
what he's
to
doing.
To me, the
I
way I'm reading
totally
it,
agree with
is
you.
The reason why they're going to franchise Matt Cassel is because they're way too smart, not because somebody told them.
I see how you can interpret it that way, but I think Andy and Paul's assessment is probably more accurate.
Well, I'm more, I'm less cynical.
What is this? You're the one who thinks he's lying.
What are we talking about?
We're now, taking it at face value.
Right,
what the guy said.
I talked to somebody. They're going to franchise.
And by the way,
go,
it's
okay.
Not negative either way. We all think that Castle's going to get franchised. Where's the negativity?
No, we all do, and that's why I don't think that's a big story. I think he's trying to put his name out there.
That part of it I agree
he's
with.
He's trying to get notoriety for
ESPN
his blog.
Did the same thing. Remember ESPN.com on the scroll? ESPN has learned, I think it was Moore,
right.
Has learned the Patriots will franchise Matt Cassel.
Right.
And that's when Dennis and Callahan started with the jokes. You know, WEEI has learned the Patriots are going to franchise Matt Cassel.
Right.
I mean, everybody's been saying it since the day that he threw his first touchdown pass.
But would you type that in good conscience if you didn't have somebody tell you?
No, I don't think that in any way that's a lie. I don't think
see,
it's
if
misrepresenting.
If I typed the sentence,
if no one told
they are
him
going
that.
To franchise Matt Cassel, period,
if no one told
him knowledge
opinion.
Of it,
no.
That's his opinion.
He said, I spoke to people in the Patriots organization, and they are going to franchise Matt Cassel. If no one in the Patriots organization told him that,
fired.
That's a lie.
Well,
whether they franchise Cassel or not, if nobody in the Patriots organization told Mike Lombardi they are going to franchise him, he lied.
Well, he said, they're way too smart, and I've spoken to people in the organization, period.
Then they are going to franchise
says,
Matt Cassel.
Then he,
period.
Then he says they're going to franchise him. You know, it opens their options for trade.
Like I said, I see where you can
you
make that.
Lying your ass
where you can interpret it that
exactly,
way. But I just
Dan.
Think, I think he said
right.
it because
once
he
again,
got confirmation.
We've argued about something that you know,
well, we all agree on. We've argued about something we all agree
but
on. They're
fair,
probably going to franchise Matt Cassel.
While we were arguing, up
they
there
the
was
Cassel
John Clayton
thing, yeah.
was Matt Cassel's future and. 5 minutes of SportsCenter, a national show was dedicated to
yeah,
him. So
yeah, Wes
I think
Welker,
it's okay.
by the way, our good friend of the show, Wes Welker, was on ESPN Radio this morning with Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
Caught him a little bit. He's doing the, he was the milk guy last year, you know, they got milk. Body by Milk,
yeah.
I think is the campaign. He was the guy with Michael Strahan last year, and as he said, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't the guy. USA Today didn't do anything on me.
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
I agree, Milk Boy.
He was funny because you know how Mike Greenberg's a huge Jets fan, Freddie. And Wes knew that when he went on. He was all set to like talk trash with him and stuff. But Greenberg was just like over the top. You know, this guy, 112 catches, 111 catches. This is the best receiver that no one talks about other than that. I mean, he was like going on and on. And Wes just goes, come on, I was all prepared to talk trash to you. I can't do it now. Wes was pretty funny. Not as funny as he was with us.
Getting back to the laxity, Josh says, I just had ACL reconstruction on January 5th. It sucked. Didn't Tom say the slack was in the MCL and not the ACL? That was what I read.
I thought it said both.
And then he says, they did operate to repair the MCL. They did not operate to repair the MCL, right? I heard this happened, the MCL would repair itself, and that was why they had to wait several weeks before repairing the ACL. If the MCL is the issue, then they probably don't need to do a surgery to fix the laxity. Fix the goddamn feed. It keeps cutting out. That's what he says.
Nice job, Dan.
Took a turn for the worst.
Yeah, that sort of button hooked
football
us
talk,
there.
Football talk. The show's up. Ferreira socks. Merry Christmas.
Dan's not talking to us.
Just
like
yeah,
his back
just
to
as
us.
A point of clarity, they planned on not repairing the ACL through surgery and hoping it repaired itself, but when they got in there, they realized it wasn't healed yet, and they had to fix that.
And that's where the infection
that's where the
came
infection
from,
came
the incisions
from.
For that surgery.
All right.
In general, they do not repair, often don't repair MCLs.
MCLs. My knee hurts right now. It's sore.
Get off
I have
your
a
knees.
Lot of inflammation. on the phone right team. Now is Mike from Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Hey, Mike.
Hola. Hey, I enjoy a semantic battle as much as the next guy, but Jesus, guys, tone it down a bit.
Well, you know, that's how we roll.
Yeah, if you had to talk to Fred all the time, you'd get into these fights, too.
Fred's been up, you know, in Fred's defense, he's been up since 3.
You can tell Michael's new to the show. He doesn't really know all these arguments start.
If my two cents is anything, it's worth your time. I read the story, too, down here. And I thought more or less along the same lines that most of you guys did, that he actually talked to somebody and they gave him the impression to hit the, they showed, they leaned him to a direction that somebody in the organization had already made the decision.
Well, that's so different. Leaning him to and giving an impression, you know, that's different than someone saying to him, this is what we're going to do.
He just yelled at us for semantic arguments.
Apparently, they had talked within, they had already discussed it within the organization. And basically, it's like what you guys say. I mean, bottom line, we know what's going to happen. Either or, it's going to happen. My concern is, I don't know if with the way the Brady's injury is recovering, whether it's going to become an issue, because supposedly it's not legal to franchise and trade. You can't do that. So I don't know if, I mean, I don't know the exact wording of the, what do you call it, the collective bargaining agreement. You guys, I think, would know better than that, better than I would. But anyway, my question today, not to make this conversation extremely long like last time, what do you guys would think would make a bigger difference right now? A strong middle linebacker and a strong outside linebacker, a safety or a corner? What do you think would make the biggest impact to the defense right now?
A corner.
Well, if it's a shutdown corner, if not, then a safety.
A safety?
Corner.
Like a strong safety?
Yeah, a real good safety. Real good safety's value have really improved,
yeah,
gone up
right.
in the NFL late, you know, because of all the, you know, having to do both, having to stop the run and play pass.
Yeah. But all things being
equal.
All things being equal, do you take Champ Bailey, Ed Reed,
okay,
or...
stop right there, Champ Bailey.
No, but if you have
but
Ed
I want
Reed
him
on the table.
I want him on equal ground. No. I want Ray Lewis, Champ Bailey, Ed Reed,
yeah.
DeMarcus
Ware. If I can shut down one half of the field in the passing game, that's what I want to
do. Okay, well, that's what we're saying.
That's what I want to
do. If you can get
but
the best...
But those guys are rare.
No,
and
I know,
but I'm just saying...
I'm also going by what the Patriots actually have, and in my opinion, that's no corners, but two adequate, at least, safeties.
Who would be a lot better with Champ Bailey next
to him. I still think we need to make up... I'm assuming
we need safeties.
Rodney Harrison isn't coming back.
No, I wasn't counting him. I was saying Brandon
Merriweather
and James Sanders.
Yeah,
they're
I
adequate
think we
safeties.
Need a general back there.
They have
I'm not
no,
sure either one of them are.
See, if they had depth at safety, I would have no problem with the position. I think both of those guys are okay. But
Sanders and Merriweather?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're serviceable guys. And Merriweather's made a vast improvement from year two, you know, from
but
year
have,
one to year two.
In my
two.
Opinion, they have no corners unless the young guys make leaps and bounds, Wheatley
right.
and Wilhite next year, which could happen.
Yeah.
But don't you think that, for example, like, if you're a corner, and this is where I'm, how I'm looking at it, you take a quarter of the field because you're taking one guy out. That's basically it. You're taking one guy out. But if you got a good safety, you're basically taking out the entire back of the field because he's going to either know where he's supposed to be. I mean, he's going to read the quarterback size and all that stuff. And instead of just taking out one guy, you might possibly take out two or three guys at the same time. You might take out a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back at the, all at once because
no way.
You got that good of a safety back there.
There's no such safety. Not there, even Ed Reed's that good.
There are fewer instances of that than there are of a
there are zero.
Of,
there's no safety on the planet who can cover the tight end, the receiver on one side, and the receiver on the other side. There's not that safety doesn't exist.
No, but I'm not,
I don't care
I'm
how well he reads the eyes.
I'm not talking about in one particular play. I'm just talking about in alternating plays. Like on one play, he can, you know, provide the, you know, the cover for the other safety. I mean, for the other for the cornerback, and you know, bracket. And then on the other play, he could actually become a cover the tight end, or he could cover the running back, or he could just flat out blitz.
There are plenty of safeties like that.
A bad safety can do that if you have Champ
Bailey.
That's
the job of
a
safety,
because now you have those two safeties in that corner on the other side with a lot less to worry about.
It's you know, if you get to the level of Ed Reed or Champ Bailey,
yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'll take
on.
Either one.
Yeah.
Right. I'll take either one.
But
certainly.
The question was, which would you, I mean, you get to pick.
Yeah.
It's a dream
yeah.
world.
And again, I'm operating.
If either one is average, I'll take the safety.
If I had, you know, if I had Ty Law and Asante Samuel at cornerback, then I would rather have the safety than Champ Bailey.
Yeah,
right.
But
right.
at this point...
I'm going off of what the Patriots
exactly.
actually have right now.
They're better off at safety than they are at corner.
Yeah, and they have no depth at safety whatsoever. I do
right.
recognize that fact.
So you don't think that for having Hobbs back there and the emergence of either Wheatley or Wilhite, that we just need a safety to be the difference? Because along the lines, I mean, everybody knows that our Achilles heels are tight ends up the middle and running backs up the middle. That's basically our weakness. And I don't think our middle linebackers are built to take care of that.
Our weakness last year, in my opinion, was any time the other team passed the ball. in any way, shape, or form. I don't think there was any glaring weakness one over the other. Tight ends killed them? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wide receivers
bombs
killed them
killed
on
them.
Deep balls? Absolutely. Running backs hurt them out of the backfield? Absolutely. I think everything in pass defense last year was subpar.
Was there a top? I mean, was there a top?
Thought you said you weren't going long here with this call, Michael.
Okay.
Oh, that wasn't nice, Eric.
Eric, what's the matter? We were talking football.
Was
it was bothering
asking.
You.
Keep going, Mike.
Asking.
Okay, because name me some wide receivers that actually killed us last year. I could.
Donnie
tell you that,
Avery,
you know,
Malcolm Floyd, Vincent Jackson.
But those are not the top wide receivers for their particular teams.
No, they just went deep down the field and caught bombs.
Vincent Jackson and Malcolm Floyd.
They were the starting two wide receivers for San Diego.
Was starting for Seattle.
Deion Branch was the number one guy for Seattle that day.
You're making our point for us kind of there. Any defense, if they focus on one thing on another team, can stop it.
Right.
You know, so if you're saying, well, the Patriots kind of stopped the best guy, that's fine. But the secondary guys then kill the Patriots. They didn't have the type of depth that could shut down teams. And, you know, you look at that 3rd and 15 in the Jets game, and, you know, when they needed that one play, they might have had the outside guys covered, but they can't do that and cover the middle of the field. It's always a weakness.
And I think that if you take away the middle of the field with the tight end, one of those outside guys is going to catch that first down pass.
Right.
Maybe it's just me, but when we're playing, for example, like the Colts, I'm not that terrified of Marvin Harrison, even though he's lost a couple of steps.
You should be of Reggie Wayne and Anthony Gonzalez, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Marvin Harrison is not their number one receiver.
I'm Dallas Clark.
You're more terrified of Dallas Clark than Reggie Wayne?
Because for whatever reason, Reggie Wayne.
How about Anthony Gonzalez last year? Were you terrified of him on those two touchdowns?
What you're saying, Mike, is for whatever reason, Dallas Clark seems to burn us. Yeah, because we can't blanket the field. Because
you double cover Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison.
Right. And Peyton Manning is so good a quarterback, just like Tom Brady. You know, different. You know, when Tom Brady's at the top of his game, everybody's catching passes. Because a good defense can take certain things away, but a good quarterback will just go to the open guy. Yeah. That's what Manning does, and Dallas Clark happens to be open.
And that's just what, I mean, I think when they didn't get pressure last year, everything was open.
Yeah.
So then going back to it, then why not get a top flight outside linebacker that can blitz the hell out of everybody?
Well, I mean,
I'd like to have the ability.
Everyone would love that.
I'd like to have the ability to do that, too, but I'd also like to have the ability to cover guys just in the event that, you know, they block the guy who's rushing. Because that happens sometimes.
Yep.
All right. I apologize for
making
you
no.
Don't let Eric get you down, Mike.
Tell Eric to go screw himself.
All right, Michael.
Good stuff, Mike.
Thanks for calling in. That's Michael from Puerto Rico. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 in the morning if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/AmericaSaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster bisque?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster bisque, it just...
Because is a stew a soup, or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress.
Seriously, where do you... You don't know from soup. Like, where do you come up with that?
Huh?
Where do you come up with that?
Because he's thinking of, like, three different things to say, and they all come into one sentence.
I guess I was the only one that was interested in that. That was the funniest part to me. You don't know from soup.
No lunch today, 2G?
Huh? Another
no.
How would we have
bang
lunch?
Up job.
We showed
by,
up for the show at 12:05. That's why it's cutting
it's
in and out.
We had to turn the lights on in the studio when
we
came in.
The lights were out.
Yeah, of course, Fred was just sitting in here in the dark, waiting for us to show up.
Just doing.
He was just catching
show
a little.
Prep.
He was just catching a little
oh, really?
Nap after
show
being
prep.
Up at 3.
You know, before I get to Mike and Sharon, who's on the phone, this is something else I was thinking about yesterday regarding Tom Brady. Assuming he comes back, you know, assuming like he starts. Doing the OTAs with the team and all that, and so he's here and noticeable and practice. I contend that he is going to have as big a microscope on him from then until the beginning of the season as any quarterback in the history of the league. Everything he does is just going to be analyzed and dissected and magnified. And I'm wondering
more than usual.
Than usual. And I'm wondering. Is that good? Is that type of pressure good? Because
I think he's used to it.
If he comes out that first game and is like 56% passing, you know, with a 80, you know, rating, people are going to be like, oh, he's not back. You know, I just think that it's going to be incredible pressure on him this year.
I think he will be under that microscope, but I'm not.
But I don't think you worry about Tom Brady dealing with pressure.
I'm not all that concerned. I mean, Manning.
If there's one
that.
Person on the planet I don't really worry about dealing with the pressure, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah, right. I agree. I'm not that worried about it.
I
do agree with you. He's going to be under an immense microscope.
It's going to be more than he's maybe. Ever been under.
But don't
or any other quarterback.
If he goes out there in May and. Is like no limp, no brace, and is dropping back. I think people will lose interest, and then they'll pick it up again in the preseason.
Well, I think that people are going to be very interested in those preseason games.
Yeah,
sure.
More so than they have in the past.
Maybe.
To see if he
pressure
play,
is what
if he plays. If he, I mean,
pressure
I don't know.
Is all self-imposed. You put on yourself whatever pressure you
everyone
feel.
Sucks, but me.
Is that from your little book of Proverbs?
I think it was in the Reagan book. It was one of the highlighted Reagan. Passages.
Yeah. Go take Mike from Sharon.
All right, Mike from Sharon, how you doing?
I'm doing good, guys.
Sound a little under the weather, you sure? You okay?
Yeah. I wanted to talk about...
just disregard you.
I think he sounds a little sick.
Hello?
Are you
Who's
done?
Dying over there?
Are you?
You.
No. I wanted to talk about Nick Caserio. I don't think the media has played him up as much as, you know, of what he's done in the past for this team. I mean, I remember him... being the running backs coach when what's his name was out. And I just think I constantly see him talking to Bill, and I think he's going to be, you know, I mean, Scott, there's no question, you know, it's going to be a tough act to follow. But, you know, now that we have Floyd Reese, who I think is going to handle the, you know, the money and the business aspects of it, which I don't think Nick is as familiar with, I think we're actually in good shape in the front office.
Well, aside from coaching running backs for that short time and coaching wide receivers, what else for this team has he done that has led you to this impression?
Well, I just think wherever there's been an opportunity for him, Bill's put him in there and let him, you know, do what he does and have the ability to actually execute on, you know, whatever Bill assigns him to. And Bill's never said, you know, I mean, he's been challenged more than I would say some of the other assistants have been, you know. I mean, he's been all over the place in terms of in that organization.
So just wherever they've put him, he's sort of done well and succeeded, so you have confidence
puts
in him.
There. If Wade Phillips had been putting him everywhere, you'd say, this is a terrible decision. He's putting an inexperienced guy everywhere. But if Bill Belichick has the confidence in you to put you in two, three different jobs year to year, flip you between coaching staff, personnel, that's a pretty high praise.
Yeah,
and
sure.
For them, Bill, to then praise you based on what you performed in those roles, I agree with Mike. I think Nick Cassero. Now, I think he's not a name, so, you know, you say he's not getting maybe the props or the praise that he should.
No, I'm just
saying anybody who knows the Patriots in football understands that Nick Cassero was well thought of and
sure.
a pretty impressive talent.
No, I'm just saying that there's not a lot of tangible things you can point to and say, oh, he did this or he did that or he had a hand in this or that. So
I can't do that with Scott Pioli either, but everybody praises him.
Yeah, you can't do
him.
That with right. anyone in the coaching staff, really, except for maybe Dante. You know,
right.
I mean, it's not like they're going to come out and say, oh, he did a good job. I mean, they never say that.
You want something tangible? He coached the receivers for 1 year, and they put
right.
up the greatest show in the history of football. That's tangible.
Yeah. The other thing is I think we're probably going to try and go after Brian Dawkins in free agency because really there are no corners out there.
Well,
there are some corners out there, yeah.
Asamoah, Robinson, D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, but even you, Andy, said that you weren't impressed with Asamoah.
Right. That's why I'd go after Robinson, but it sounds like he has no interest in leaving Houston, and they have no interest in him leaving Houston.
Well, the other thing is, you know, we've always had a strong, you know, safety back there in this system, and, you know, I think this system sort of needs it. I think that's where Belichick puts, you know, some of his value on.
That's what Fred thinks.
And that's what Mike in Puerto Rico thinks.
Looking for a general. I love Dawkins. I think he's great.
I love Brian
now,
Dawkins.
I don't know.
I think he's a little old.
He's definitely old,
and you're only getting a year or two out of him. But cerebrally, is that a word? Is he considered, I mean, I know athletically he's a freak. He's the Wolverine. He does the pass rush and the hitting.
Right.
But
he's better than
mentally,
Lamar.
Is he
oh, God, yeah.
Is he considered one of those types of safeties, a field general,
I think so.
On the field?
I think so. And I think the other thing is, you know, he's been on the Eagles, and they've been on the brink every single year. And I think he wants that ring, so we may be able to get that sort of discount type we're going to
well,
go
I'd
and
be
get.
Right. I don't know how much of a discount you'll get
well,
signing him, but...
I mean, it's at least a shot.
Well, signing those older guys that are really hungry has worked before for this team.
Sure.
You know,
yeah, it's not. It's certainly a
my only argument
plausible.
On that would be generally we've gotten guys that haven't been on good teams. You know, Rodney was not in a good situation. He got let go.
Oh,
those
like,
guys haven't been either on teams at all or on good teams.
But like Mike
if
said,
I'm Brian Dawkins, 6'1", half dozen the other. I got as good a shot of going to the Super Bowl if I stay here or if I go there. I mean, they go to the NFC Championship every year, 5 times in his career. He's been in the NFC Championship.
Well, but the odds are more in your favor here just from sheer numbers.
And we're better.
What numbers would those be?
Well, when they get to the AFC Championship, they win it, as opposed to the Eagles who lose the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they win the Super Bowls
but the fact of the matter is they both have an opportunity to get to the Super Bowl every year. That's
yeah.
all I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So
no,
if I'm a player and I like where I am, now I don't know what Brian Dawkins' situation is in Philadelphia, but if I like where I am, I have a chance to win, I stay.
Maybe. I can see Mike's point.
If I don't like Philadelphia, I leave.
I mean, they just have never been able to finish it. That's the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas the Patriots have done it 3 times.
That's right.
The other thing is
maybe you should go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. With 2010 possibly being uncapped, do you think, and with all of our free agent losses in 2010, do you think that maybe they'll try and do, like, a big run this year and then plan on rebuilding in 2010?
No. I don't think that's Belichick's style. I don't think he does big runs. I think he wants to win every year.
It's sustained success. And, I don't think Robert Kraft would allow Belichick to do that. Robert Kraft wants a chance to get into the playoffs every year.
Every year.
Oh, yeah. There's no question that's the mission. But if you take a look at the just the sheer number of quality players we could possibly be losing next year.
Well, I mean, yeah, we've been there before, and somehow they figure it out, you know.
And you worry about next year, next year. You worry about this year, this year. Whatever you can do this year to help your team when you do that.
Belichick has often said that sometimes, you know, those kind of decisions, you know, personnel, whatever, if you don't need to make the decision right now, don't do it. Because sometimes time and other events out of your control, you know, give you the answer. Yeah. So, and that's worked out for him too.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a large number of players that are potential free agents next year. I don't think it's as, you know, important a class as maybe some other people kind of leading it to be. I think there are important players, don't get me wrong.
Well, I think if you stay, you know, in the 3-4, Vince Wilfork.
Vince Wilfork and Logan Mankins and Richard Seymour. I mean, they're definitely important players. I'm not diminishing that. But I think people are overwhelmed by the fact that it's like these 15 guys or whatever. Like, Fred, I think you just put it. I mean, a lot of those will work themselves out, you know. And the guys that, for the most part, they want back, I think will be back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, Vince is the big one, obviously.
I think so, because he's a unique player.
You know, maybe he's a guy that you do early, and then that takes one big chip off the
Well, the,
you know,
big problem is the collective bargaining agreement. I mean, they have no idea what's coming next.
Right. Well, that's the problem with the whole class. You don't want to go and sign 5, 6, 7 guys to long-term deals when you don't know what happens. But,
well, you can,
remember,
but
you can sign one.
Every team is facing the same thing with that uncapped year, and
yeah,
we're smarter, so we'll be able to deal with it better.
We're back into Tuesday mode.
Well, it's true.
You're right. I actually agree with you on that one. I think that we're better positioned to handle it because Belichick has been ahead of the curve all along.
Well, plus now we have Floyd Reese.
Now we have Floyd Reese.
It's
true.
Because that suddenly
we have Belichick. I didn't give the other guy credit. I'm certainly not going to give this one credit. Belichick's the man.
All right, Mike.
Guys.
All right, Mike from Sharon.
Thanks, Mike.
Russell from the OC. People still upset about this Brady picture from Tuesday. It says, so I log on to the Boston Herald, and what horrifying picture greets me direct from the front page? The Brazilian kryptonite and the once great Patriot quarterback lounging on a Mexican beach.
The once great Patriots quarterback.
Glad to hear
last time he played was the MVP.
Glad to hear on Tuesday's show it made you guys ill, except, of course, Fred, who was always looking at things through rose-colored glasses as well.
Bye, Paul.
Paul's leaving for the big show, by the way. I don't recall Bobby Orr doing that after any of his knee surgeries. Larry Bird would say he was taking a week or two off after most seasons up until his back became a huge issue and then get back to work. The Brady of old, 02, 03, 04, 05, etc., never would have opted not to skip so much of the offseason stuff and not play a snap in preseason. Seems that model pink has drained him of his fire and edge. You guys seem to be taking that blind leap of faith that he'll be good come camp time, but I would buy into that if he was in the facility in Foxborough working out rather than playing kissy face and traveling the world. The Globe even had a story a few weeks back that when he was in the facility, he was too busy on the phone with Her Highness to talk with the other guys. Nero is diddling while Rome could be very inflammable. If this comes to fruition, and I hope it doesn't, remember who said so. Memo to Brady, get back to the gym and rehab. Have a great weekend. Love the show. Russell in the snow-free OC.
Well, if we're going to go with patting each other on the back, I'm the one who said last year I was worried that he wasn't working out and taking part in the offseason program. And who was right? How many snaps did he play this season? Had nothing to do with that. Now I'm not worried because I've gone the other way, and I think the doubters, people like him that are doubting him, are going to drive Brady to come back better than ever.
So Paul just gets up and leaves, doesn't say goodbye.
No.
Just goes
typical
to the big,
bigger and better
typical
things.
Typical Perillo.
Big time in us.
He's got to hurry up to be on with
Cedric
Maxwell.
I mean,
true.
So he's going to the big show, and they're going to talk about
the Celtics.
Jason Veritek,
the Red Sox,
and the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way,
and the Rev schedule coming out yesterday.
Oh, the Rev schedule came out yesterday.
Two genders on the show today.
Wow.
That's all you got, Fred? Not even you could drum up a second sentence about the Rev schedule.
I was going to say, the other news that they might talk about is it's reported now that the New York Times has hired Goldman Sachs to investigate selling their 17% of the Red Sox. So anybody that wants 17% of the Red Sox, they're for sale.
Why don't you go after it?
Why don't I go after it?
That's a lot of money. What do you think 17, I mean, what's it worth? A billion, two? So 10% is 120 million. So 17% is
what? That's half of your salary.
200 million bucks or whatever. Go for it.
Oh, sure.
You got 200 mil.
Yeah. If I had $200 million.
You wouldn't be sitting here talking to us today.
No. Right.
Not a good time to be selling the Red Sox shares, I can't
No,
imagine.
Probably not.
Because that's sort of a disposable income type purchase. You don't, you know what I mean? That.
Well, it's New England Sports Ventures, so I don't know if that includes Nesson as well.
A share of Nesson?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Doesn't Maybe. Matter. It's not a good time to be selling any of that stuff. It's not at the height of value.
Can I just stick up for Tom Brady for just a second here? Whether a guy's injured or not, this is the time of year in football's offseason
right.
when you have the chance to go on vacation. Okay, I understand he's rehabbing from a knee injury. Is he ever allowed to go on vacation, ever, no. in fans' minds?
Yes, just keep it in your pants and not in front of the camera.
But who cares?
I don't care if he's on vacation.
Who cares?
I don't like the canoodling.
Well, that's the word of the week, too,
I
by
know.
The way.
Everybody uses it. I figure I might as well keep going with it.
So what?
I don't like PDAs.
What's the big deal? But he thought
jealousy.
He was in private.
No, not jealousy.
What
I
if
have
he thought,
a wife.
What if he thought he was
I could
in private?
Do PDAs all I wanted, but I don't want to. I think it's stupid. I think it's immature.
You
probably do it all the time if you had a girlfriend.
Oh, I think he does. He's got that Amelia woman.
If your wife looked like Giselle, you'd be doing it.
I think my wife is better looking than Giselle.
Wow. Holy mackerel.
You listening out there?
but I'm more impressed. You have Amelia? Who's Amelia?
That crazy woman that writes in all the time.
Oh, that he met
that
on
says
vacation.
Dan's the man.
I have a groundswell of Dan Tugender support.
What swell?
Yeah.
What's swelling? Do you have a girlfriend, Dan? He's shaking his head yes.
Is it that woman that writes in all the time?
Shaking his
Who
head
is she?
No.
Because she's written in a lot.
Now he's giving him the
I
finger.
Think she's British because she spells words with like extra I's and O's and stuff.
Oh, yeah?
She actually, like
does sound, she actually does sound rather
That would
intelligent.
Be illiterate, not English.
No, she does. I mean, aside from the whole, you know, inexplicable devotion to you,
she's just
she sounds
be,
like a relatively smart
let's
woman.
Let's be honest. This show is about shticks,
mm-hmm.
and she found hers. No one ever
no
cared
one likes
about Dan.
Gender, so
no one ever
gonna,
aligned nah. themselves with Dan, so she's
so
like,
she
you know what?
Bad.
That's my way to get in. She uh-huh. does it in the subject heading.
Yeah, that's true.
That's her shtick.
Okay, I'll buy that.
And it's well played out.
I'll buy that.
But no one believes that she likes Dan because no one likes Dan. He's useless. Hasn't gotten us a lunch in weeks.
Brian at Tuscaloosa.
Not a correct one anyway.
Writes in, I wanted to thank you for consistently reporting real Patriots news and not feeding us shallow tabloid fodder. I already am anti-Herald in my reading, but now the Globe is dipping into the Brady gossip news. It's okay if that stuff appears in the entertainment section, but Shaughnessy's recent story in the sports section made me puke. It was weak, scathing, jealous, and detrimental to all of Brady's accomplishments. Make it stop. And I just puked again when I found out that Fernando Bryant and Victor Hobson are on Super Bowl squads. I better go brush my
and
teeth.
And Monte Beisel.
Monte Beisel.
Forget about him. And Sean Morey, former Patriot. By the way.
Yeah, but no one hates him or holds
no,
him. Against
no,
him.
No, but I'm just saying. Another one. Could have been here.
Sarah writes in.
Hey.
Still no pictures.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Floyd Reese the guy that drafted Pac-Man Jones? I trust that Belichick knows his mm-hmm. record, but that one pick makes me skeptical.
He's drafted very well. He's had a lot of successful drafts where he's, like the Patriots, he's hit on early picks.
Yep.
Now, he has some misses, too, just like
sure,
the Patriots.
Sure.
Isn't Bill Belichick the guy who drafted Chad Jackson?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, Pac-Man Jones was physically gifted. They rolled the dice on his...
And his off-field behavior, and they lost on that one.
Yep. Seriously, you guys are the best podcast available. Where else can you hear a debate on the logistics of delivering an upper decker? Personally, I just flush and walk away. I don't stand there and watch it fill back up, so I don't see the big deal. I guess it would suck if you had to clean the tank, but couldn't you just flush again? Please discuss.
My guess is it would take more than one flush.
I don't know. Well, in your case, it always takes more than one flush.
Not always. Very liquidy.
You clog
so that down easy sometimes.
Well, I suppose.
Spray.
Let's see. Reed from the Cape writes in, hey, PFW guys and Eric, I was just wondering why the Pats and Steelers are the only two teams that do not recognize their captains. Every other team puts a C for captain on their captain's jersey. Why don't the Pats do this? Also, go Cards. I hate the Steelers. I hate everything about the Steelers. I hate the people of Pittsburgh and their faggy towels. I hate them. Also,
minute.
I hate the worthless hot dog and that douchebag, Hines Ward. Go Kurt, the pussy Warner.
That's so he sounds like he hates the Cardinals, too.
He doesn't like them. He doesn't like the Cardinals.
You know why?
I don't
like
the Cardinals either.
Yeah, but if you're gonna, you have to take a side here. If you have Pittsburgh. To take a side, no, you go with Arizona.
Oh, you
take
tradition,
Arizona.
You take football.
No,
you take football the way it was meant to be played. Defense, running game, physical, tradition.
If they hadn't drafted Mendenhall, you wouldn't be talking this
crazy.
That's
not
true.
If you are a true Patriots fan, if all you care about is the Patriots,
right.
You are rooting
for the
Cardinals.
Why? That's right. Because you don't want the Steelers to win their sixth trophy.
Who do you think Bill Belichick's rooting for?
I don't care.
I don't think he cares.
Who do you think
he's
Bill
not
Belichick?
Rooting.
I don't think he's rooting for anybody.
They've asked him that question before, and he
and
said,
he
I
lies when he sits down. Like every human being, he's leaning
he
at least a tenth of a percent one way or the other.
I don't think he
and
cares.
And he's rooting for the Steelers. You heard it here first.
Well,
that's what I'm going with.
I
doubt it.
For the ex-Steelers coach Ken Whisenhunt.
He would throw up in his mouth if the Cardinals won. He cannot respect the way they played here.
I don't think he really cares.
I don't think
that
so
may be
either.
True. He might not even watch the game.
Yeah. Well. He's, no. Oh, they taped that.
But
that
he likes tradition. He likes history. He likes physical defensive football.
It would be historic if the
Steelers.
Cardinals won. That's why he would root
for
the Cardinals.
A historically bad season for the National Football League.
True Patriot fans, we're always right, they're always wrong fans, are rooting for the Cardinals.
As they should.
That's dumb.
But you and Paul are true Patriots fans. It's
that's
clear.
True.
So, I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. You know,
but when the Patriots aren't
Paul
in
thinks
it,
that everyone's
like
going
football.
To Pittsburgh. All the free agents don't like
what did Paul say earlier?
I don't know.
Somebody epitomized Patriots fans. They're stupid and don't know anything.
Oh,
that
you were supposed to bring
about.
That up when he was here.
You should know.
What
I got a
say?
Little wiener. There was some ass PFW, and he said, that just epitomizes real Patriots fans. They're stupid and don't know what they're talking about.
And Andy turns to me and goes, remind me, we got to bring this up on the radio.
Oh, my
supposed
God.
To do it while he was here, though, to embarrass him.
Well, as I said before, all the fans are stupid, and all the media is biased. So the only one that has the true scoop is Paul Perillo.
Right.
Yeah. That's why he's going to the big show.
That's why he's going to the big show, to bore a nation.
He's actually very good at the big show.
Well,
I think he keeps them honest when he's on that show, at least when it comes to the Patriots.
Well, I mean, you would keep them honest.
Isn't he Mr. Patriot on that show?
No.
He's not?
That show is the most embarrassingly homer. It makes Fred look objective.
Oh,
Fred would be the objective voice of reason.
Which
on
is
that
the show,
show
that makes you look. Oh, Felger.
Yeah. Felger goes the other
That's
way.
That's right. I'm thinking of the wrong one.
Mikey Vandalism writes in from East Haven, Connecticut, he calls himself.
Okay.
First off, yesterday's positional snapshot was the safety position. This is what you guys do on PFW, Patriots.com.
Yeah. On Patriots.com.
You're doing positional snapshots just in case people don't know. You're featuring different positions and doing a snapshot.
We're reviewing the roster top to bottom, giving fans just a hint of what might come and where the areas are of need in free agency coming up.
Right.
Potentially.
The position's depth is thin, and regardless of the situation with Rodney Harrison, he is likely at the end of his career, and the position needs to be addressed. There needs to be an infusion of youth at the position. The only safety that is at a starting level is Merriweather, and James Sanders played a solid part throughout the season. I believe the Patriots should look to the draft for safety early on, but are there any prospects worthy of being taken in the first round? If so, do you think the Patriots will be able to pick up who do you think they'll be able to pick up with the 23rd pick? And also, why don't you guys try contacting Paul Fitzy Fitzgerald and try to get him on as a guest on the show? If you haven't heard of him, check out the sign, townynews.com. I have heard of Fitzy. He's very funny.
My cousin loves that stuff he does on his site.
Yeah, he's good. He's funny. And he burps very well.
I don't think that's why she listens to him, but
I've never seen it. I've heard of him. But
I showed you some, and you guys
funny.
Made fun of me. This isn't funny.
Oh, that's, oh, the,
maybe
that's the guy who did the Britney,
leave
Britney
Brady
alone thing.
Leave
yeah,
Tom Brady
right.
alone.
I probably didn't find it funny then.
Yeah.
That particular one might not have been funny, but
that particular.
Wait,
he's
a actually a stand-up comedian.
Right. I find
in
it.
Real life.
I know I'm a James Sanders homer.
Yes.
But now Brandon Merriweather is the only starting caliber safety on this team. He's that much. He's light years ahead of James Sanders.
No.
I think Sanders is better person. I think he's more solid. I think Merriweather showed that he can make plays, and he showed just as many times he can give up plays last year. So I just don't get the infatuation with Brandon Merriweather.
Because
if he makes another nice leap, okay. And
right.
I know he shows up with numbers. He had a couple picks. He had the sacks late that happened, but
to also,
me, James Sanders is a pretty solid football player.
But James Sanders wasn't a first-round pick, and fans want their first-round pick to succeed.
Right.
And
a first-round pick who a lot of fans wanted to cut when he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, he sucked until the very end of his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
He either didn't play, and when he did, he did not, like,
didn't
drop
make,
balls.
Right, yeah. That was what
now
he was
all of
for.
A sudden, he's like the building block of the back end of the defense?
Paul Perillo were here, you know what he'd say.
Well, that's your typical Patriots fans.
I agree.
On the phone right now is Matt from Oregon. Matt, how you doing?
What's happening, guys?
What's up, Matt?
Long time no see.
I know. I haven't called in a while. Figured I should.
What have you been up to?
You know, working, trying to start that business. Remember I told you guys I was starting a business?
Yeah, how's that going?
I got my first two members, so it's going.
But it's a good economy to start new businesses, I hear.
Yeah, I couldn't have picked a better time, right? Hey, speaking of Merriweather, I want to agree with Eric on a point that he made a few shows back about the tackling. I think the tackling in general has been awful. I mean, obviously, you know, I never played at a level anywhere near the level that these guys play at, but I remember from, you know, fourth grade until, you know, I stopped playing football in high school, every coach I ever had said, tackle low, wrap up, tackle low, wrap, you know.
It's basic.
These guys just fly around looking to lay somebody out.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
There was a story about that today in conjunction with the, you know, the NFL's got this big push now against concussions and trying to find out ways to prevent that. And that was the thrust of one of the stories that came out today was guys are always just looking for the big hit. They're not worried about making a tackle.
Right. That's right.
And letting the play come after that. I have an idea
that would, you know, because the spearing and launching, nobody really understands, you know, if that's against the rules or for the rules. And it's hard to tell whether it's a helmet-to-helmet, really, because a guy can duck. Here's the thing. If you don't lead with your arms out in front of you, then it's an illegal tackle. Half these guys, they've got their arms like wrapped up on their chest.
And they're throwing a shoulder at somebody.
Yeah,
they're human missiles.
Right. Exactly.
If you don't lead with your arms in front of you, it's not a tackle.
You have to show that you're at least trying to make a form tackle. Right. I agree with that.
And you can lay somebody out by hitting them in the gut with your shoulder. Of course you can.
Sure.
Of course you can.
I've been laid out that way many times.
you look at, you know, and I don't want to sound like an old fogey, but you look at the old tapes of Dick Butkus. I mean, he would run through guys, you know, like unbelievable. But he had his arms out, and he wrapped them up, and he just ran through them 5 yards beyond them and just leveled guys. And it was beautiful form tackling.
Right. How about that quintessential highlight of Andre Tippett that they showed over and over during his Hall of Fame weekend against the Bears when the guy was running to the outside?
Yeah.
He wrapped him up with one arm, lifted him up, and threw him down.
Right.
That's more of a big play than these stupid guys who are running around throwing their shoulders at people's ankles.
Right. Yep.
Did not agree more.
Well, and one of the problems is, and we learned this recently because Vince Wilfork talked about it, he remembers seeing Merriweather's highlight tape from high school when Wilfork was at Miami and they were saying, this kid's going to come play for us. And Merriweather was dominant in high school, just killed people, hitting them. Vince said you'd see people get hit and they'd end up like under the bench on the sideline. Merriweather still thinks he's that guy.
Yeah,
except
it's the NFL.
When he hits people now, they bounce off and keep running.
Right.
He hasn't transformed his game, and he's not a hard enough hitter anymore to actually complete the hit and make the play.
And that's one of those things you don't see in practice is tackling drills.
Right.
And that's a fundamental part of the game, and I think it would help most teams if they got more into that.
Yeah, and you know, and there's the whole debate about, you know, you can't do tackling drills because you get guys hurt and stuff, but who's to say you can't go through it at half speed
or at explosive sled. How'd you do it in high school, Matt? You had a sled.
Yeah. Right.
You hit the sled, you wrap up, you force him to wrap up. You don't have to hit each other, but.
But I think the coaches think that's supposed to be taken care of by this point, and they only have so much time.
But it's not.
If they focus 45 minutes on that a week, that's 45 minutes where they're getting burned by Peyton Manning's adjustments on offense.
Right.
They're getting burned with bad tackling, though.
Maybe it needs to be more of a push at the lower level.
Well, that's what I think. I think the more we see high school and college football glamorized, it's on TV all the time, it's about the big hit.
The fundamentals get lost,
Once they're lost at the lower levels,
you're
playing catch up. You can't get them back.
Well, that's the thing. And it's the same thing in basketball.
Yep.
These guys are just so good, they don't need to practice the fundamentals in college. And it hurts them when they get to the pros, unless you're LeBron James, and then you're just so ungodly good that it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. I got one more thing for you, fellas. You were talking about that coach that, you know, was kind of yelling really loud all the time, even though he had a few players and kind of, you know, more important to himself than he really was, kind of. I got a word for you that you can add to your vocabulary when talking about a guy like that, and it's a fig jam.
Well, how do you spell that? What is it?
Fig Jam, and it's actually an acronym. You know how, like, JAG is just a guy?
Yep.
It's a Fig Jam. Blank, I'm great, just ask me.
Oh, okay.
Fig Jam.
I think it's actually an Australian phrase, but I like it. It's a good one. I use it all the time.
Okay, use it. All right.
Pass it on.
We're adding it to PFW lingo. Fig jam.
There you go.
All right.
All right, see you, man.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right, buddy.
So who's going to be the first to call Paul a fig jam?
I think you just did.
Scott from Southwick writes in, "Hey, guys, and Eric, love the podcast. Got me through a long off season last year, and it looks like it will have to do the same this year."
It's actually long.
"All this talk of franchising and trading Castle has got me thinking the value of high draft picks. I'm not sure anyone would give up a top five pick for Castle, but if the two best offers were Detroit's first, which is the first overall, and fourth rounder, or KC's first, which is the third overall and fourth, which do you think Bill would take? On paper, Detroit's picks have a better value, but the extra cost of the number one overall pick plus the virtual impossibility of trading it makes me think Bill would take the KC offer. What are your thoughts?"
You're still paying a ton of money in the top three.
Right. So there's not a whole lot of difference there. I think he would more likely try to go with someone who has a lower, or even Detroit, try to take their lower first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, and it also depends on who he sees.
Yeah. Oh, unless there was somebody that he absolutely, if like another Mayo type,
Ed
were
Reed
available,
or whoever right. he thinks is great.
Yes.
Then he'll pay him the money
right.
and have a great safety or a great linebacker.
And if he doesn't, he'll
right. It would be dependent.
The lower one.
And he already, they may not be finalized in terms of these are the top 64 players, but he has an idea already. If there is a top two player who is can't miss, great. Now sometimes those guys miss. It happened. Mm-hmm. Bill loved Robert Gallery, and Robert Gallery is now a guard. He was supposed to be an otherworldly left tackle.
Yep.
But he has an idea right now how many blue chip stud players there are in this draft. And I know people talk about the money, but if he thinks a guy is a can't miss player, mm-hmm. if he's Lawrence Taylor,
right.
he's going to take the number one pick, draft Lawrence Taylor, and be very happy paying him $60 million.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a good idea for this show.
I doubt it.
Oh, boy.
I'm reading an email from Amelia.
Which I'll
read in a second, but you know it's an email that has a lot of an emotion to it,
mm-hmm.
and you know sometimes you know the person who is actually saying it can only say it in their way. You know, it'll be something will be lost in translation when I read this because I'm sure I don't have the passion of Amelia.
Oh boy, I see where this is going.
But so the other thing is obviously you can say well then she should call then and then we could just hear her and we could hear the passion. But you know some people get a little stage fright when they call,
or they're at work and they
right.
can't.
So here's a new concept for talk radio.
Oh boy,
you record what you want to say and make it an MP3 file. Okay, and you could actually do as many takes as you want. Uh-huh. Send us the file, then we'll play your file uh-huh. on the show. The way you want it read.
Sort of like a
people
winery.
You probably have less access to that to record an MP3 file.
Why do you say that?
How many people have like microphones on their computers?
Everybody. Every computer has a microphone now.
You don't need a microphone on your computer either.
Bitch slapped.
All you need is one of those.
If you have a computer that you bought in the last 2 years, it's got a mic on it.
It's got a little hole somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh boy,
Eric, stay away from my laptop.
I'm staying away from your laptop.
I think that would be cool. So then,
why can't they just leave a voicemail?
They could. They could.
Do
leave
we have
a voicemail
on our number?
I don't know. But
gender, we have voicemail in there. We should have a voicemail box so that they could leave it.
Well, the other thing you can do is the voice recorders we use for our jobs.
Right.
You can convert. You can speak into those and then plug
and
into
then,
your
and
laptop, and it automatically downloads as an MP3.
Email it to Dan.
Yeah.
It's not a terrible idea because you do butcher.
You've had
emails.
Worse ones, yeah. That's a pretty good one.
Okay.
Plus, we could
you
sit back and
you can even do production with it. You can have a music bed.
Oh boy! Now you're getting crazy.
Or it'd be better if you just attempted to match the enthusiasm in the email when you read it.
That's another good
great.
Point.
Can we just
that's
fire
a good
him?
Point.
Can we just get rid of him?
You know what?
He's useless.
I'm going to break you in half. I am just going to snap you like a twig.
That's actually possible. Because
yeah, I know. You might.
Oh my arm! It's broken. All right, so Amelia.
So what does she have to say?
So with that build up.
Yep.
Well, that was kind of build down. You're admitting you're not going to do this email justice.
Yeah. Let's see how he does.
No, I'm not going to even attempt to match
Try,
your
attempt.
Enthusiasm.
No, attempt, Fred.
Anyway, she says Tuesday
it's
show
Tom
was
Brady a, from last April. I'm not even trying. I'm going to try to compete.
Tuesday's show was a vast improvement over Paul and Eric's suicide-inducing disaster thanks to Dan's many contributions. I'll take Dan throwing the lunch buyer under the bus, punking Eric and Andy, and calling Paul on his bluff any day over Eric and Paul singing Double Yuck. The only negative aspect of the show was Andy and Paul's stupidity regarding Brady's very normal behavior. Andy and Paul would not do well on a test of self-awareness. First, we have the guy who constantly talks about having sex with a porn star and gets tongue-tied at being in the same vicinity as a D-list celebrity with big breasts, yelling that a guy hugging his girlfriend in a pool must not be getting any. Sorry, Andy, but your behavior on the show and off the show as described is the very definition of a horny 13-year-old boy.
That's accurate.
Brady's behavior is characteristic of a secure person who is in a relaxed moment with someone he loves and finds attractive slash engaging, such as the average adult. Then there's Paul, who proudly tells us about getting into a public verbal fight with a woman at a toy store. He follows that up with a story about being proud about a misbehaving kid annoying fellow diners, yet actually believes that he is in any position to determine what behavior is humane. Sorry, Paul, but your behavior is the type that makes everyone uncomfortable and which could possibly be described as not human. Hugging someone isn't groping. And a woman sharing a morsel of her food with her boyfriend doesn't make any normal person feel uncomfortable. I can't say for certain that jealousy is what motivated your comments, but your comments do make one thing very clear. There isn't a woman out there who is jealous of your wives.
Ouch.
I imagine Paul will...
I think I love her.
She goes on. It's not too much.
I think
she
loves you, Dan.
I imagine Paul
says a lot about her right there.
I imagine Paul will probably fall back on, well, Brady complains, blah, blah. I've heard Brady make a matter-of-fact statement about his lack of privacy once, and his complaint wasn't, I hate being seen sharing food with my girlfriend. It was along the lines of, I hate people following slash constantly approaching me. Brady kissing his girlfriend doesn't cause people to follow him slash take photos. Rather, his status does. So I applaud him for continuing to enjoy his life like being normal rather than limit it as you apparently wish he would. I hate children on airplanes, but I'm not going to miss out on going to Paris because of it. And going to Paris doesn't make me a hypocrite. I'm rooting for Arizona, see Fred's reasons, but I think Eric has jinxed the possibility of them winning. That's Amelia.
That's she's a smart cookie.
She's an idiot.
Smart cookie, except, like I said, except for her irrational love of Dan Twogender. She's a smart cookie.
Says a lot about her and all of her views.
That
on Brady's uncomfortable
needless
PDAs.
Shot at me aside, I tend to support her in this email.
I think you would, because if you had a girlfriend, you'd be all over her.
You're right.
You would smother the hell out of her.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how I lost most of my girlfriends.
That's right. You can't smother.
I know.
Smother.
No, you know,
crowd. You crowd too much.
You have to be cool.
Right. No, I know. Yeah.
You know, what Tom Brady's doing is not
being
cool.
And I've talked to my wife and other women about this. You know, for all the women who say, oh, I love a man who's sensitive. Mm. In reality, they do not want that.
Really?
They want a man who's a man. They want they want friends. They want friends who are sensitive and have empathy and all that. But their man, they want their man to be a man.
But wouldn't you say for every one picture that there's Brady of this and Giselle together, you know, her feeding him food?
What?
Don't you think there's a million pictures of them not doing this?
Right.
Like, it's so selective. They just throw out the pictures they want.
Right.
So just because one picture, that doesn't represent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the life of Brady and Giselle.
There's been a ton of pictures.
That's the other pictures.
He and her making out and doing all kinds of stuff like that in public. Every time they're in public.
Every time.
Disgusting.
Every time they're in public, they're doing
disgusting.
This. All right. Well,
get a freaking.
Listen, you horny 13-year-old boy.
He's the horny 13-year-old boy. Just do the deed and get it done. That's the problem.
Wow.
He's horny. They haven't done the deed.
Either that or he's really just still in love with his girlfriend. You know, maybe the fire hasn't left that relationship, unlike some people in this room.
The fire can still be there. It shouldn't impose upon others.
He's not imposing if a paparazzi is stalking him.
If he's at a restaurant, he's imposing.
That one time in Boston.
In front of a window when he clearly wanted to be seen.
That one time.
That's why I think he's
Boston.
A fraud.
That one time.
When it'd be like you and I sitting in front of this big window and saying, I can't believe someone saw us.
And I thought at the time that they were doing that for the picture because, remember, that was right around the Bridget Moynihan thing. And I think they decided, let's show the world that we are a couple and that's it.
Right.
And I think that was – I looked at that as being orchestrated.
Maybe it was.
Maybe.
And it was that one time.
But every time they're in South Beach, the photos include them touching and making me uncomfortable.
Holding hands?
No.
They're not the only couple that does that.
Canoodling. Rubbing noses together. The grapes in the mouth.
The grapes in the mouth. What the hell's going on out there? All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grill. Well, it's that time. Freddie took a trip over to Bass Pro to meet loyal listener Doug from Blackstone. Let's listen in.
Hey, Gary, Fred, you have any idea what Doug looks like?
Bye. That's a trip to Bass Pro with Fred Kirsch.
Bye. All right. Welcome back. A lot of emails coming in about Brady, but also John from South Carolina, who's a former lunch buyer. So
we love
from
John. Tuesday.
We love John. Yeah. He says, I missed part of the show. Did I hear Dan Twogender has a girlfriend? Have you guys been letting Screech go to the farm? Tell him sheep are not for loving. Oh, and screw the Steelers. Go Birdies.
Good man, John.
That's John from South Carolina. We got to find out more about Dan Twogender's girlfriend.
She's a sheep.
Does she work here?
She's the woman that wrote in.
No? Is she bigger than a bread box? He says yes. That's good. Let's see.
She doesn't have bread in her
Does
box.
Does she have a bread? Oh, yeah.
Beat me see it. Now.
Beat me to it.
Matt is a new emailer. He calls himself Matt the Chef from New York City, New Jersey.
Everyone's giving themselves nicknames now. And if he's a chef, then send food.
That's what... Excellent, Andy. He's saying he's a chef, yeah. So my next thing is, okay,
home-cooked meal.
A lot of restaurants in New York City, though. You watch that Kitchen Nightmare show with... there's some bad ones with, like, rats and stuff walking
Well, there was
around.
A big... About the TD Bank North, about how they had rat droppings in some of the...
Really? Gillette was perfect. Well, did you see that?
Yeah.
Really?
No, it was.
Well,
they
the problem is, why
times.
Do they have to mention us in that story?
No. Oh, see, I took it as a positive, a comparison. Because first thing I was thinking... Probably all big arenas have multiple violations every time they're checked because it's nearly impossible. And then when they say they went to Gillette 9 times and not a single violation was found, I go,
that's positive for the Pats. Yeah.
Gillette's pretty impressive.
Right.
I just don't like even being mentioned in the same story as someone with violations.
Just don't let them eat one of those gridiron grillers. It'd probably be a health code violation.
Let's see. Matt from New York, New Jersey.
The chef.
Says,
the chef.
First time emailing. Been listening for over a year now. I wanted to chime in on the argument of Brady and Giselle being like 13-year-olds, like Andy said. Paul, Andy, obviously you've never been with a Latin woman. They are very passionate, crave physical and emotional attention. Tom is giving her the attention she needs, probably because he wants to continue to receive the ridiculous physicality in the shack that only a Latin woman can give.
Keep it in the
shack.
Well,
isn't she German, though, but from,
from Brazil?
So she's not.
I have experience with this since I have been married to a beautiful Colombian woman for 8 years now. I was like you, Paul, a somewhat Goomba Italian from Boston who would never show public displays of affection until I met my wife. Trust me, it is well worth it. Tom knows who butters his bread. Just thought I would stand up for my boy, Tom. You guys are all great, including Eric. I'll try and email more often. Hopefully, I'll have some better football-related things to talk about. P.S. I love two-gender, but I think he should work on his drop-ins during this extended offseason. Love the Big Lebowski open the other day.
And work on getting us some home-cooked meals sent up here.
Something.
If you're a chef.
Hmm? Work on food.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean two-gender. Getting us food ever. Wow.
So that's interesting, though. That you know, not to be stereotypical or paint with a broad brush, but he's saying that Latin women need that. That's what they're used to.
Maybe, yeah.
Was she filmed the same way with, what's his name?
Leonardo DiCaprio?
I don't know. Maybe that's why Leonardo DiCaprio
strippers
doesn't go out with her anymore.
Were there too many PDAs between Leonardo DiCaprio and Giselle?
You know?
Who else? I mean, there's not other Latin women out there? Who's Latin?
Well, that...
Salma Hayek?
J-Lo.
J-Lo's the opposite. Yeah. She's never filmed anywhere doing anything.
What's that other one? She's got brunette, very, very pretty.
Salma Hayek?
No. Perez, maybe? I don't know.
Rosie Perez?
No, Rosie Perez is old. This one's young. She's fairly new on the scene, like maybe 3 years ago she came on the scene.
She's singing or is she a movie star?
No, she's a movie star.
So, Ava Mendez? Is that who you're thinking of?
No, I'm not sure.
Well,
Ava
Mendez,
she's hot.
She's very smoking.
Smoking.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway.
That's probably who you're thinking of.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Is that true?
Could be. So Maybe. Now you got a butting of heads. Does she want a man who says, we'll do that in the bedroom when we get home, or she's running the show and we do it wherever she wants to do it, because if not, she'll stop doing it.
Okay.
I would think he's Tom Brady and says, all right, you want to walk?
Can we get that Banderas guy in the show and ask him? Because he's had a lot of experience, right, with these
Antonio
women?
Banderas?
Yes.
Yeah, but he dates he's married
now
to
Melanie
Griffith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, that's
the exact
opposite.
Maybe he couldn't take it anymore. Maybe he, right?
He hated
too much
PDAs.
Public affection, so he had to go with
We can get Del Toro on.
Benicio
Del Toro?
Yeah, we'll
Who
get him
Who does he go out with?
I don't know. But he should know.
Is what's her name... Tony Parker's what's
Ava Longoria?
Yeah,
that's Italian though, right?
I think she's Italian.
Yeah,
no, I'm just going like dark hair, dark skin.
But yeah, if not, she's in that.
She's kind of hot.
Ethnic category, yeah. Kind of. Hell yeah.
Sometimes I see her and not so hot.
When have you seen her not hot?
They get those pictures when they're like getting the newspaper and they got no makeup.
Everybody's going to look
but
like
I
that.
Like a girl
I don't know about that.
No, I like
There's
a girl who looks
beauties.
Cute with like a baseball cap on just going to the gym.
Oh, I agree with that, but I've never
if
seen
it takes
these...
a lot of makeup to make her look hot, I got no interest because I'm going to see her without makeup.
Well, I agree with that. I think women
Giselle, I don't think, wears a lot of makeup.
The less makeup a woman wears, the more beautiful she
is,
in my opinion.
Right. That's right.
Because they can make it. You ever watch those stupid shows that my wife's addicted to?
The makeover stuff?
Yeah. They take fat, ugly, gross girls, and at the end of the show, you're like, I probably would. I mean, they can work magic.
They do that with a lot of models, too. They have to do Photoshop and lighting.
But
and...
I'm just saying the makeup.
Right.
Yeah, if it's in Maxim, it could be your 600-pound mailman, and he ends up as a hot blonde. I mean, they do amazing stuff.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is
the
email address.
Yeah, they're cutting
508-543-7482. What?
Cutting the mail down to 5 days a week.
Who is?
Oh, the post office.
Yeah, they're trying
to... No Saturdays?
Well, they're not approved. They need a waiver from Congress.
They're saying they might have a $6
Eric's
billion,
not cutting down on his mails.
They have a $6 billion shortfall,
that wasn't
perhaps.
Bad.
All right, that was kind of funny. I'll give
He's
you
He's going to stick with six mails a week.
But I think a lot of it is... Well, first of all, they raise the rates every year and their service stinks, so I don't understand that. But I think a lot of it is people paying their bills online, and it's just people using the mail less. And
why does the U.S. Post Office service stinks, you think?
Oh, it's terrible.
Why?
It's just awful.
Mail gets delivered every day. It's usually, if you mail a card or something today, it'll get to where it has
to
go a day or two.
Taking your civil servant exam or something? What do you?
No, but I don't see why you think it's so horrible.
Listen to me.
Oh, geez.
They're one of the single most reasons why people cancel subscriptions to PFW.
That's accurate.
The mail?
The mail. Because they don't deliver it on time.
I was going to say. It was.
It has nothing to do with Carol Hardy.
Seriously.
It has nothing to do. It goes directly from our printer to the post office, and then it doesn't get delivered.
They're actually having – I read a story.
So I could swear right now. I'm so upset.
They're finding a lot of mailmen who say they can't keep up with their job and are hoarding mail, like, in their basements.
Well,
they go to these people's houses, and in the basement there's hoarded mail. Like, they couldn't finish the day's delivery, so they just brought it home with them and put it in the basement.
How do you not finish your day's delivery?
Because you're lazy.
Because it's 4 o'clock. And that's Fred
Kirsch, not liking mail,
not
man.
Me.
Well, you wonder why they come in and they shoot everyone. Going postal, you know, that you know?
Not
all mailmen are like that, or male women. But they, when it comes to beyond first-class mail,
gender, a
he
male
calls
woman?
Them stupid and fat, and then not all of them.
No, I don't want to get, you know, the American Association of Postal Carriers. But you know, when it comes to beyond first class, lower than that, they're just awful. Awful.
This all stems from PFW, obviously.
Yes.
Nothing else.
I am.
You have no other.
I have firsthand evidence of ineptitude.
In that particular case, you have no other example you can cite.
And we used to be part of the Pro Football Publication Association, and they all had the same problem. Every team publication. If you're not Sports Illustrated, they toss you aside.
Okay, so everything else they do fine.
No, not everything else. There's probably, if it's happening to me, it's probably happening to a lot of other people.
I mean, a lot of other people.
This isn't everybody hates the Patriots, are you?
And you've never had anything lost in the mail?
Almost never. No,
oh, I have.
Well, you wouldn't know it because you
Christmas cards. Like, you send out 50 Christmas cards, and you're talking to people, and you find out, like, five people didn't get them.
I've never had that problem.
Yeah, that's because 10% of them are taken and open to look for money.
Right, probably.
I've never had that problem.
Fred, strippers just sent in an email about a woman that's been charged with stealing more than 9,400 letters.
See?
There you go.
9,400, wow. Eric.
Okay. I never had such problems.
We're now painting with a broad brush. One woman does it, and we're saying the Postal Service sucks.
I've never had those kind of problems.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll say that the majority of postal carriers, they do a great job. You know, they're out there. Rains. You know,
he bounces back and forth.
Neither rain
fat,
nor sleep.
Stupid thieves.
But it doesn't take much to screw it up for the rest of them. And I'll tell you this. It's probably – there's a lot of mismanagement at the top levels of the post of
that's
USPS.
Well, maybe.
That's the problem is mismanagement.
You still got the Pony Express.
A $6 billion shortfall? Yeah, everything that goes through the post office is paid for. There's no free – you know. Mm-hmm. So how do you have a $6 billion shortfall?
What about the stuff that says no post is necessary?
That's paid beforehand.
That's paid beforehand. Business permit. It's a business permit. We have that here. Everything somebody is not doing their little Excel spreadsheet right,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And that's why they just keep raising it 2 cents
That's a good point. I'm just saying, I've never had any trouble with actual pieces of mail not getting delivered by the post office.
And you've had a lot of pieces of mail delivered to you.
That joke's already been used. That joke's already been used,
all right,
Fred.
I'm sorry. That's
lover.
That was
did you hear my theory about you could – you know how they sell the stamps now that are good forever?
Yeah.
They don't have a number
forever
on
them. Stamps.
They're first class.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't, if you had money – you buy a bunch of those at whatever it costs now, 40 cents.
Right.
And then in 10 years,
when sell them for a little bit lower, but still make a profit.
Yeah. Sell them when they're up, when they go up to 50 cents, you
sell them
for 48.
So how does that work, though? There has to be a way to prevent that.
I don't know. Well, they haven't been around long enough to do that.
No.
They've only been around for like a couple of years.
Well, first class.
But do they have a life on them?
No.
No, it's forever.
That's
they're called forever
stamps. They're called forever
stamps. And they cost the same as the current.
They cost whatever. Yeah, whatever they cost now or when you buy them
is what you pay.
Is what you pay.
But they're
good. And you can use them as long as.
Well, there you go. That just proves that they're stupid.
Why don't you take some of your money and invest in that? Go buy like 10
some of my money. Why
stamps.
Does he think I'm have some of this money?
Because we've been to your house. We
you're rich.
We see the estate that you live
on. I'm sitting here hoping
on.
My kid doesn't get into Zavarian because I can't afford it.
Oh, that's see, nice. Now poor Connor's going to cry himself
take out
to sleep
a home equity loan and pay for it.
Yeah. By the way, my home doesn't isn't that valuable anymore. I have no equity.
I'm up to my eyeballs in bills.
Ay, ay, ay.
We got our first audio email.
Really?
Already?
Play it.
Holy, wait, is it strippers?
Well, wait a minute. You have to screen these.
Did you look at it first?
Did you listen to it?
It's clean.
Okay. Go ahead.
Andy sucks. Fred is the best. Paul is a fig jam. And Eric rhymes with hay.
All right.
And who is that?
There you go. That's great.
Now, who is it, though?
Josh from Arlington.
Well done.
Excellent.
Really? Wow.
See, it worked.
I think this will catch on.
You know what he was doing? He was imitating that poetess woman that was at the inauguration.
Right. Right. Catching each other's eyes.
Yes.
Or not.
Right. Very well done, Josh, except for the slam against me. I don't
fig jam.
Care for that. But fig jam. Right. Good use of fig jam.
Good stuff here. Let's see. Gerard writes in, seeing that Tuesday's show was just full of hate toward the Steelers, I thought I would chime in and give my thoughts about the team, being that I am probably only one of a few listeners that actually live near Pittsburgh. Paul said that Steeler fans are the only fans that wait at the hotels to boo you guys. Well, Paul, if that's all you get, then consider yourself a lucky man. You see, you guys only have to put up with that garbage for a few days once in a while. I, on the other hand, have to live it, breathe it, and taste it every damn day. Let me tell you what it's like being a Pats fan that lives only an hour outside of Pittsburgh for 21 years among all these obnoxious idiots. It is hell. Now, I know being a fan of a team that isn't the home team is going to draw some attention, but here, it's just ridiculous. I don't know what it is, but Steeler fans really have it in for the Patriots. You would think we were in the same division with the way they hate us. I can honestly say it is because of the fans that I have grown to hate the Steelers as much as I do, and I really mean hate. They are the lowest form of scum on the planet, just utterly pathetic. They just never know when to shut their mouths. I am ashamed to say that I even went to the same high school where a teacher made a student wearing a Broncos jersey sit on the floor and take a test while the other students threw paper at him. I am even more ashamed to say the same thing happened to me a few years ago. That's very funny. Luckily for that bastard, I wasn't taking a test, and I don't even mean – And don't even get me started. These ass clowns that call themselves professional sports reporters and you guys think EEI is full of homers. Give me a break. It is sad to say that I have even lost some friends due to my allegiance with the Pats and not the Steelers.
Well, they weren't real friends then.
Oh, well. At the end of the day, I still wear the red, white, and blue proud with my head held high, knowing that I am surrounded by haters. Also, it really disappoints me when Andy roots for the Steelers. I challenge you, sir, to live there amongst these godforsaken fans and see if you still feel the same way about your beloved Steelers. I will go to my grave having two favorite teams in the NFL, the Patriots and any team that faces the Steelers. So you can bet your sweet ass that I will be rooting for the Cards this Sunday, not only because I hate the Steelers, but also because I will never hear the end of how the Steelers were the first to win 6 Super Bowls and are the greatest of all time. You make me sick, Steeler Nation. With that said, let's go Pats. And that's Gerard from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
That was a good job by you, Fred, of getting the emotion out of that email.
Because I was going to say, that would have been a candidate for
that would have been a great candidate
audio
for the audio version.
Yeah.
You know who the favorite to win the Super Bowl
Dallas
is right now?
Patriots.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
A little giggle from Paul.
That's from draft weekend, right?
Yeah, yep. Draft day. Yeah.
And he also says that
Andy Hart, right again.
He's going to have a Super Bowl party, anti-Steelers Super Bowl party that he's going to throw because he hates them so much.
Now, I assume the hate from the Steelers to the Patriots started, I mean, in the last
5, yeah. 6 years.
Yeah.
They, let's be honest, the Patriots weren't a wart on their butt for the previous 20.
Yeah, we beat them in
20.
The game, and right. One of their dumb players, I think it was Flowers, said that the best team didn't right. win, and we made fun of them.
And Joey
that.
Porter, wasn't he the one, as of like a month ago, saying that's our, they got my ring,
my
dynasty.
Yes. Yep.
I mean, he was in Miami a month ago, not long ago saying
this
that.
This season he said
so
that.
That's why they hate him. They still believe they were the better team and that they were derailed in the early 2000s by
2001,
the Patriots.
They thought they were going to win it all
so
that year.
So they feel like they got robbed, and then that sort of
and,
got
you know,
fortified by all the Spygate
you know,
crap.
We caught
and,
them with all the, you know, in 01, you know, how they thought they were going to win, how the hotel already had the black and gold up, you know. So, you know, they've been made to look the fool at our expense.
So they should hate us, right?
Well, I could see them hating us.
They should.
But we didn't really do anything to them. They did it to themselves, and we just pointed it out.
But they should hate us.
No. Well, I don't care if they anyone should hate us because we're so damn good.
Right.
That's why people
Which is why
hate
a
us.
Lot of people hate the Steelers. Because, by the way, in addition to dominating the 70s, they've been very good now.
No, they're a very consistently good
team. I mean, they've
been
good.
You got to give them that. You got to give them
Yeah,
that.
They haven't had many years when they're
First
terrible.
Of all, they got to be the model franchise.
Well, that's
you know,
terms of longevity.
And they sustain being good without
being
going
good.
Out like Jerry Jones
and
buying
and,
up.
Right.
You know, they
right,
do it through the draft. They do it through scouting.
They're legitimate good. They go to AFC
yes,
title games. Okay, so they lost to the Patriots. They didn't
right.
finish it. But in the 90s, they were in the AFC title game. In the 2000s, they were in the AFC title game. In the 70s, they won four Super Bowls.
They did have a stretch where they weren't too good.
In the end of the Chuck Knoll era, right?
Right?
In the 80s.
It wasn't
right,
long.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're talking about 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. More often than not,
Absolutely.
The Pittsburgh Steelers were part of
yeah.
the elite.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's why they're hated by Patriots fans, because they're
no,
good.
No, we hate them because of their mouths. We do.
Whose mouths?
We don't hate San Francisco
Jerry
49ers.
Porter, I mean, Joey Porter. Okay, maybe Lee Flowers. Who else yaps all the time?
Oh, that kid last year that we burned.
So now a backup says something.
Doesn't matter who it is. And their fans are really obnoxious. They really
Well,
are.
That may be. I don't – I mean, other than the hotel lobby, yeah.
I
don't
like
have a
their passion.
Experience.
I like the fact that they stick – you know, they stick with their team.
Misguided. Root for the Patriots.
But, you know, they are misguided. Let's see. Sam from Brighton says, if the Patriots are wearing their throwbacks this year, does that mean they are not wearing their new red alternate jerseys or will they wear both?
Or
I think
are they
the same.
Throwbacks are the red alternate jerseys.
I'm not sure about that. Not sure about that.
I believe they are.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Last time you said that,
we
were steered way wrong.
Here we go.
Do we need Flanders on the phone again?
No. Because
no.
he's the one that screwed it up the first time.
Not so sure about that.
Yes.
Let's see.
Bucko.
Andy, I mean, Sam also says, when the Patriots, when that Patriots were there, Jesus.
This is another one of those that probably should have been an audio.
When the Patriots wear the throwbacks this year, I can't wait to see if Bill wears something with the throwback logo on it. Do you guys know if he wears anything with the throwback logo? Did he wear anything with the throwback logo on 2002, the last time the Patriots wore throwbacks?
And I don't remember if he did or not.
He doesn't really follow the great guidelines of what he's supposed to wear. My understanding is there's sometimes some frustration as to he just grabs stuff out of his locker and goes out for the game.
Yeah.
So ridiculous.
So, you know, if he happens to grab a Pat Patriot, maybe. If he happens to grab the gray hoodie that he always wears, that's what he'll be wearing. As long as he keeps winning, he'll be okay.
I think so.
Karen from Ireland writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, haven't emailed in a while because I have school, but I have been listening to the podcast. Let's just say Brady's injury cuts his career short and he can only play two more years. So would you rather have two more years with Brady or six with Castle? I'd take Brady every time. And P.S., we need more entries for Scalavino on Urban Dictionary. I am going to add a few later. Scalavino, claiming to be something you're not, as in Eric claims to be straight, but he is pulling a Scalavino. Eric doesn't like people putting those entries in.
No, but I knew the minute he told people he didn't like it that was going to backfire
and
go
the
wrong
problem,
direction.
Eric. You fed into it. If you tell people it bothers you, they're going to do it because they want to bother you.
I asked nicely, Fred, and I thought our fans would have some sort of measure of respect. Obviously, I was wrong.
Yeah, but if
you
ignored it, then they probably wouldn't be doing it to such a degree. You know.
Sorry, I gave our fans more credit than they deserve.
Oh.
My bad.
Wow.
Won't happen again.
So what about you guys? 2 years of Brady or 6 years of Castle?
I'll take two years of Brady. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I think he's...
We'll get another quarterback.
I think he's deserved it.
Yep.
I would say 2 years of Brady because I do believe he's one of the greatest of all time. So, but what if the defense is really bad those 2 years and you waste them?
It's going to come to an end at some point. So I'd rather go out with a blaze of glory.
I'd like Tom Brady to retire as a Patriot, you know, go in the Hall of Fame and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
just not in 2010.
No, but I'd like him to play his career here.
Will he?
I don't know. You can never be definitive with these superstars because things happen at the end of their career.
I thought Bledsoe was going to be a Patriot forever.
Yeah.
So did
he. What happened?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Manning and Brady, we see both in another uniform?
I think Manning would be more apt to stay than Brady, believe it or not.
I agree with that.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
Well, I think Manning's more apt because of the team he plays for.
Whatever the reason.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think there's a chance that, say, 6 years from now, Brady's kind of coming to the end. He's not really that good.
Right.
I think Bill will say, we got to go a different direction.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the Colts might say, we'll give you one more year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Bill has shown he can make the hard decision.
Yes.
And Brady as a competitor might still think he's got it.
Now, hopefully Brady's not one of those guys that has to be dragged off the field.
I don't think he is.
Yeah.
But a lot of times these great competitors are that guy because
they don't see it the way it really is. Right, right.
They still think they're great.
Right.
I think Brett Favre that's part of his problem.
Oh, of course it is.
So.
Oh, don't even get started with him.
Speaking of Brett, they're going to meet, I guess, next week. He's going to meet with the Jets ownership and Tannenbaum to talk about his future. Another thing, Paul writes in from London. That reminds me, the tickets for the UK game going at a record pace. They sold 20,000 in 7 minutes, and they've sold 70,000 so far.
So far, yeah.
How many does Wembley hold? 100,000 or something like that?
I think 80 to 100,000, something like that. Yeah,
it's big.
So each team, the Buccaneers and the Patriots, I think will be making an announcement in the future about their own sales.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't got tickets, I think, and you're a Patriots fan, I think there'll be ways to get them.
But that's great news.
Yeah.
And it sounds like we're going to outnumber them.
Well, the press release, which didn't come from the Patriots, said that the Patriots are the best supported team in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Not surprising.
We knew that, though.
Yeah.
All the UK Pats.
But it's good to see that in print.
I have speaking of the UK, I have a question for our UK fans.
Do you, our UK?
You're such an idiot.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
I really, really can't put into words how much I hate you.
If you see K.
Do you guys watch History Channel at all?
Wait a minute. If you see K.
Me. You can't just spell the word.
I said the name of the song.
Amy is the song.
There's Amy in there. You,
if you
just spelled the
Amy.
Word.
Oh, I thought it was K, K-A-Y.
No, it's not, Fred. Another one of these things where he pretends to be dumb, right. But he's not.
Okay, so go ahead.
Do you guys watch the History Channel at all?
Yes.
Not to the extent I'm sure you do.
Do you
or pretend to.
Why do you have to answer like that?
My son watches it a lot.
Is that what Modern Marvels is on?
Yes.
Oh, I watch that all the time.
Do you watch UFO
Boring!
Hunters. Shut up, Tuesday.
No.
Last night's episode.
Boring.
Shut up.
Oh, he's mad. He's really mad.
Last night's episode was all about the UK. Apparently, they are the new UFO hotspot. There have been, like, in the summer of 2008 up to, like, September, there were, like, over 200 UFO sightings throughout the UK, all over the place. And I'm wondering, since we have such a huge UK fan base, there's got to be odds that at least a handful of our fans who listen to this show were part of that sighting.
Here's my problem with the UFO sightings, okay? Some five-year-old can hit a full-court shot in a pickup basketball game, and it's on the internet, and you can see it clear as day, all right? But with all the UFOs going around, we don't have one tangible piece of positive evidence of it.
That's a good point.
Why are you getting mad at me for?
I'm just saying, I would love to believe in UFOs, but come on. The slightest little thing happens, some baby spits up and it's all over YouTube the next day, and these UFOs are flying all over London, and we don't have any positive evidence
yet. But people tape kids all the time.
Yeah, and kids are up close.
Look, everybody's cell phone has a camera on it these days.
And that's why the quality is off. Those cameras aren't great.
It's not even close. Believe me, if there were UFOs, we would know about it. I want to believe in these things. I want to believe in the ghosts. I watched that Ghost Hunters show. I actually sat next to one of the guys on the plane coming back from New York. But anyway, I want to believe in this stuff. But with all the technology we have today, don't you think we would have more empirical evidence of it?
Yes.
Yes, but
That's my rant.
The argument is that there is evidence and the government is hiding it.
But I'm just saying the government can't blank out the sky. Other people would see it besides
you ever seen Men
NORAD.
In Black? They push that little button and it, boom, everybody
but
forgets.
That's my point. In the UK last summer, there were like well over 200 sightings throughout the country.
And where are the pictures? Where are the pictures?
Did you watch last night's episode? There were some great pictures.
Okay, and it's just relegated to this obscure little show on the History Channel. It would be all over CNN if there was really UFOs.
So you thought...
I'm saying
some of the photos were legit.
They looked
could not
it, yeah.
be questioned.
No, no, they looked. Part of the show
not
is
a pie plate in front of
the way the show. No, no. The way the show works, because you've obviously never seen it, is
what in the hell is going on?
They have one guy who's on one extreme. He's the, like the
editor of UFO Magazine. He believes every story that comes along.
Well, he should. He's in the business.
Right. Well, there's that guy. There's the Fred Kirsch of the UFO community.
Fred promotes Patriots.
There's this guy in the middle who's like the investigator, sort of the journalistic side where he goes and collects the evidence.
Andy.
And there's the guy at the other end of the spectrum who's the scientist who has to be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that everything is as...
Paul.
Right. So they go out, they collect the evidence, they analyze it, they discuss it, and more often than not, the scientific guy says, well, he either shoots it down or he says, you know what, there's some credibility behind this. I can't explain it.
Can't explain it.
And that's what happened. Last night's show was probably the best show they've ever had as far as evidence and analyzing it and eyewitness reports and stuff. It was great. And it's all over the UK, so I was just wondering if any of our listeners were part of that massive wave of sightings.
Look, it's got to come down to more than... I really can't explain that. It's got to come down to, oh, my God, that's a UFO! Why don't we have that?
Maybe they're invisible.
I don't know, but maybe if...
Maybe.
I mean, if they're advanced enough to bounce around the solar system, I'm guessing they're not just a normal little plane.
I would love to believe in this stuff.
A one-engine prop.
And I want to believe in this stuff. I just find it really, you know, hard to believe that with everything that gets caught on camera every day that no one has been in the right place at the right time.
They have. They just haven't. They just don't have the great equipment to capture this stuff. No. Or it's at night and all you see is little lights bouncing around.
At one point in the history of lenses, someone would have said that was a factual UFO picture and we haven't had it.
Okay, Fred. Well, how then do you explain? I'm not saying I believe one way or the other. I love that you're passionate about this. How do you explain in Renaissance art all of the paintings that have UFOs depicted in them?
You're talking about the Chariot of God stuff, all that stuff, that whole series?
No, there are a lot of Renaissance paintings that have little minute, hidden almost in the background, what look like UFOs. And it has nothing to do with
it. What look like UFOs? I don't know what they are. It can't be explained. Maybe UFOs visited here.
Oh, my God. Why does he have to talk like this?
The whole Chariot of God's thing, which they've had shows that have debunked that, you know. Aliens came down and showed the Egyptians how to build the pyramid and get, you know, and that there's all these secrets. Some of the Masons feel that some of the, you know, formulas for building these things came from other beings. I would love to believe that stuff. I want to believe in that stuff. I love that stuff.
You just haven't seen enough evidence.
Of course not.
Okay.
No, neither has anyone else, by the way.
All I'm asking is for our UK fans, I'm calling on our UK fans if they or anybody they know was part of this enormous sighting of last summer, let us know and tell us what you saw. I think it would be interesting to hear that.
But not the
recorded
people
on
Ireland.
An MP3.
The Irish people are drunk, so they don't count.
That could be anything.
That's your fight. I'm not getting involved in that.
All right.
Well, Wembley holds 86,000, just in case you were wondering.
86,000. So, okay, good. All right. We're all on our way. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be monitoring all the news. I'm going with the Cardinals.
Steelers.
Andy, Steelers.
Cardinals 27-21.
All right. And Paul is going from the Steelers, I'm sure, because all the free agents want to go there. All right. We'll see you next Tuesday.
See now.